morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Ah, yes, indeed, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
The United States would be a better place if there weren't any Jewish people.
All right, T, just say the commentary until we get into the show. Let's see. What do we got going today? It's Music Monday. Okay. So we have ours, although...
My hands are in my car. Anybody else get home Sunday from the bar after, well, are they doing free shots or whatever, and go, Music Monday!
Yep.
Me too.
I did it out loud. Skipper, I did it this morning. I popped up in bed.
No.
As you know, I sleep on my back, Teresa.
Yes.
I popped up in bed, and I leaned up, and I pulled the covers down, and I yelled, Music Monday, and then Molly's ears went up, and they held for like a three count. They went out, and then...
Right last night.
Now, but don't worry, we're all right. It's a UFC-themed Music Monday. I believe the scenarios is you're on the ground, you're about to be choked out.
Yeah.
What is the music you want to hear pumped through your head to motivate you to get up?
And of course, the Converse, I'm assuming.
And the one that's just going to make you relinquish and go into a deep slumber.
Yes.
A sleeper hold.
That was midnight. I was pretty happy with my choices.
All right, so we'll do Music Monday. Let's see. What did I do this weekend? Well, I burned my mouth on Friday to get the week started. The mouth burned.
This is damn exciting stuff.
Very, very, very underappreciated injury because it ruins almost everything.
Yeah. Paper cut gets all the press. It's a little tiny thing, but it hurts like hell. Nobody knows it, but a burnt mouth.
I did that thing, and maybe I don't know if there's a way to do this. Hey, here's what I'd like. Around here, you know, I've had many complaints about the kitchen, the microwave, so on and so forth. There's a lot of this. When you're in a communal kitchen, there's a lot of, well, there's a microwave and 86 people use the same microwave. And I must use it five times a day to heat up my coffee. And twice a week you open it up and it's like somebody put an M80 in a breakfast burrito and just blew it up inside. Now, once in a while, when you're dealing with a really kind Samaritan, they'll have the glass plate, the Pyrex plate that spins around in there. That'll be tossed into the sink. That's usually about as much effort as someone puts into cleaning up their exploded burrito.
Which, by the way, I hate, because when you put it back, it never goes in right and just kind of makes that weird wobbling like a bent 45.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that...
For you kids, that's music.
I did that thing where I tossed my coffee in to heat it up. And again, people, my tip, don't put it in for 30 seconds, 33 seconds.
All right.
You see, you don't have to pick your finger all the way up and move it to the zero. But the point is I toss it in. But I did that thing that we often do. There's 2 minutes and 28 seconds left on someone else's counter tab on the microwave because they pulled the breakfast burrito out 2 minutes early. So you do that thing where you go, oh, all right, there's 2:28. When it gets to 2, I'll pull it out.
Yeah, sure.
But then, of course, someone taps you on the shoulder and you start talking to them. And then when you look, either there's a... just a melted pile of plastic where your commuter cup used to be, or it's that thing where you went, damn, one a minute and 45 seconds instead of 33, but you pull it out anyway. But I had it in the commuter cup, and I had, for some reason, maybe it all just evaporated, I had like an inch of coffee left at the bottom. So there was an inch of boiling coffee at the bottom of this commuter mug, which had the top on it, and I wasn't really looking at it, and I was just hanging on to it. And I, at the end of the show last week, I took a swig off it, and it sort of all rolled down into my mouth at once.
Like magma.
And then I had that. That's exactly what it was. Then I wanted to do the spit take, but it was weird because, you know, and I had to go spit it in the trash can. But I got my tongue and my lips.
You're coated with pain. There are very few kinds of pain that hurt more than the area that was originally injured. If you swallow something that's far too hot, you've burnt your uvula, your whole throat. By the way, I don't actually smoke. I just had some hot coffee.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
So my feeling is, here's what I'd like microwaves. I'd like two things to be done to a microwave. Mm-hmm. A, I want the ones that accept the metal, So yeah. I can put the little foil doggy bag thing in.
My new commuter cup's steel. Can you believe this?
Yes.
Or
the commuter cup or every single takeout thing that has a wire on it or a tin foil or whatever. I want them, A, to accept metal, and B, if someone does a thing where they punch in 9 hours, 27 minutes, and 33 seconds, and they just warm their bagel up for 18 seconds of that 9 hours, I want it to go back to zero. When they open the door and then close it again, boom, back to zero. Or open it and close it, and 30 seconds later, it goes back to zero.
Jeez, that's fair.
I want them shot.
Hmm?
I want them shot. What do you mean you turn it back to zero?
I want them shot, but they're not going to do it.
Yeah, sure. You can't shoot a guy for over-toasting. You got a point.
You can mac him around, but you can't shoot him.
No, I've learned the hard way you can't.
But I do want it to go to zero. That's what I want. Now, you'd have to be a little timer in there, because once in a while you're cooking something, you pull it out, you have to put your finger in it, see if it's still hot or cold or whatever, and put it back in, and you want to continue the countdown. But after 30 seconds, and here's the other thing. Can I ask you guys this?
You may.
Your cars, I seem to never, I'm going to buy my next car based on this and only this. I never check before I buy a car. When you take the key out of the ignition, does it give you 30 seconds to roll up the windows? Because I've never owned that car, and I feel like other people have that car, and it happens to me all the time. You do that thing, you pull up, you turn the key off, you pull the key out, and then you look back and you realize somebody sitting in the back didn't roll the window back up. And you do that thing where, oh, I'm going to roll the window up, and then it's like, oh, no, put the key back in and turn the car, turn the key so you can do it. Then I think, what the F would be the danger in me being able to roll the window back up without the key? And then once it exists in other automobiles, shouldn't it exist in all?
Brian?
Yes, Paul Bryan.
My 2000 Chevy Silverado does that.
That's what pisses me off the most.
I believe my 2006 or maybe even 7 Honda S2. Oh, yeah, 2007.
Wow.
Honda S2000 does it. Just bang and up they go.
Tease your car, do that?
My CRV, nope. Someone left the window open. I got to restart the car. I can roll it up.
It drives me insane.
Several cars have done it.
And I found out, and I swear to God, I don't know why, but just because I was reading about it, but in 1987, I think like an 87 or an 86 Mitsubishi Starion, I just remember reading one of my car magazines, dreaming about that $9,000 car when I was poor. Just could only dream about it, but it had a thing where when you pulled the key out, you had 30 seconds to do it, and then it would lock, because I guess you don't want it 2 hours into the run.
Right.
Someone could somehow do it or whatever. It. All I'm saying is once the Mitsubishi Starion comes out with it when Paul Abdul's at the top of the charts in 1987, do you think the modern day Audi could just have it? Like, shouldn't we just be pilfering all the best ideas?
Yeah, putting them together.
Is there anything worse than when you had something that's 5 years old, a car, a cell phone, any kind of technology, then you get the 2007 version and you go, oh, my old one had this really cool thing that this doesn't have. Isn't it supposed to be the other way around? Isn't your new one supposed to have really cool stuff that the old one didn't? Is it a horrible feeling, especially when it's technological, that your new one doesn't have something your old one? All right, so I want my car to have a microwave in it.
Okay.
That takes metal.
That takes metal. Somebody, please. I know we have a lot of people in the scientific and engineering community listening. I want a microwave I can put metal in.
Doesn't seem like it should be that difficult.
The microwave's been around like since the 30s now.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's push forward. Or you people who build the microwaves must connect with the folks that make the takeout containers.
Yeah, why does there have to be metal like on Chinese takeout?
The microwaves have been ubiquitous. Here's all you need to know about life in this country, really, if you think about it, in the world and everything else. Since
I'm going to boil this down to a microwave.
I'm going to boil it. I'm going to literally boil myself in a microwave. This is all you need to know about the world we live. Since 1975, the microwave has been ubiquitous. I would reckon by 1985, 90% of the houses in America had a microwave, and now it's up to into the 90s. There's no kitchen built today that doesn't have a space for a microwave. And if you're in an RV or a mobile home, it doesn't matter. I don't care how poor your neighborhood is. Every person living in the United States now has a microwave. All right.
Oh, yeah. And at least two TVs.
And at least two. Now, takeout containers are probably the number one thing you want to toss in the microwave. When you take home some pasta or you take home some Chinese food, it's going in the microwave. You're not getting a walkout or a brick-fired pizza oven or anything. You're throwing it in the whatever. So the thing that heats almost 100% of everything you take home from a restaurant that is in almost 100% of households, 100% of the containers that you take it home in won't work in a microwave. That doesn't seem like the greatest of all plans,
and
does it?
Not, I don't see any. I see them at the store, but at restaurants, I never see a warning. Like objects in mirror
don't
closer than they appear.
Yes.
Okay, that's a warning that makes sense. That truck is closer to me than it looks like. I should pay attention. But do they have, hey, don't put this one in the microwave? Because it can do one of three things. It can have metal hidden it and blow up your whole stuff.
Right.
It can have a special kind of seal where your food gets so hot it just melts into nothing.
Right.
And then finally and foremost, they have the kind that look like they're microwave safe and then melt themselves.
Those are the only ones. There's two things you can take your food home in. The ones that have metallic in it that would work in the microwave except for the metal. And then there's the ones that just melt and have no metallic in it.
I make my way to eat my food.
I'm just saying.
I don't hassle it.
Even those Chinese. You know how everything is made out of plastic these days,
right?
And metal's been replaced by plastic? The only thing that hasn't been replaced is that wire hanger handle that goes on the Chinese paper cardboard container. That's the last metal thing left in America. I'm just saying, people, could we figure this one out?
I just leave my leftovers there because sometimes I have leftover shame. Mm-hmm. When they ask me if I want to take it home, I do, but I don't want to admit it.
See, I do leftover with an explanation.
Oh,
I
do
the my dog loves tiramisu.
Really? Your dog? I didn't think dogs
could eat. Just pack it up and could you take some of what's on the other table?
I've done something very similar, except I do it with humans.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll have a beautiful girl in here, and I'll turn to her and I'll say...
Sometimes.
Well, all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have one I have a shot at. And I'll look at her and just out of nowhere go, my girlfriend just died in a fiery plane crash, and I shouldn't be alone right now. That's my doggy bag of love.
I just, what was I talking about? Oh, the real shaming with the takeout is not, look, if you get yourself a big old T-bone steak and you have three bites out of it and there's $33 of a $38 steak left there, no problemo. Where it gets shaming is where the guy has to break down what's on the plate. There's six fries. Do you want, you know what? You know where you get casual? Toss those in. Like, I'll throw them away when I get home.
Right.
Into my stinking mouth, crying in front of a full-length mirror nude.
You ever ask for the bread with the takeout?
Yeah, it's just like, first off, if you own a restaurant, like, here's my whole thing. When I own a restaurant, I'm going to instruct...
Wait, you do.
Oh, okay. Tonight, I'm going to instruct my waiters at my restaurant,
Amalfi,
over on La Brea, great Italian food there. I'm going to say to them, don't break down the effing plate into quadrants. You know, they do a thing, they go, so you go, could you wrap this up? And you hand them the whole plate, and they go, oh, do you want the half a baked potato too? And you go, oh, you know what? You have to act like you haven't thought about it. Oh, I don't. Yeah, sure. No, toss that in. And then they have to do, you want the broccoflower? You want the, just throw what's on the plate in the thing. Why the shaming? Why the drawn out shaming? Isn't it easier for you just scrape?
I want my six fries and a little of what that guy's got left on his plate over three tables down. Give me some of that, too.
That's what I want.
I have no shame for food being my food.
And look, what are you going to do? Let's just say you throw the eight fries in there and a half a head of broccoflower. What do you think I'm going to do? Get home, open it, and go, hey, man, what this? Hey, honey, get the Red Lobster on the phone. Because I am PO'd. I told him I wanted to take this home, and I handed him the plate. When I said this, it was obvious I was talking about the Malibu chicken and not the six fries next to it. I mean, this is an outrage. Get the manager. We're going to talk. Oh, okay. Well, then you call him at home. I don't care if he's not working.
You got the right guy here. I will go back to Beef Bowl, who almost never makes mistakes because there's only three ingredients. It's either beef and rice, chicken and rice, or beef and chicken and rice. I'll drive back.
No, you will.
If I tell you three times, don't do this. I want the chicken and the rice.
Yes, but that is the wrong order. This is the right order that you told them to scrape into something that would melt in my microwave.
The comparison
Why
is
do they
the
have
outrage.
To break it down? Do you want this? And then there's the super humiliating, the piggyback, where I have to tell them to toss the wife's half a pork chop on them. Just toss it all. I try to be real. You're shame. Put it all in one thing.
We're a family.
So you want the pasta and the ice cream and the... Put in the same tray. Just put it in. Put the bread in there. Put, we came in, we passed some fruit. Was that real? Okay, toss one.
Nope, just Brian.
Toss one of them balsa wood apples in there. That's fine. Just toss it in. Just as you head toward the kitchen, anything you see on a table. You know what? Take me one of those big busboy trays. Just drag it out here. The Big Ben, the gray one, those. Just drag it out.
Bring the big busboy. He looks good.
Take the big busboy. Could you,
we're a soccer player in the Andes. Bring him on.
Could you undo the garbage disposal and just go ahead and pipe that house, that right down to my house? There's all the slop just flow through my kitchen. It's awesome. I have a hog.
Right.
I have hogs. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back,
Adam, save the world by 6:16 in case you care.
A little Blotto in the Grotto fun for you. We have tickets to give away. I'm guessing we'll get to the bottom of the guys with the big heads. They're on adamcarolla.com.
Get to the bottom of the guys with the big heads.
That's sad. I know. Very unfortunate. We'll tell you more about it. Tickets to the Playboy Mansion next.
1 year ago, on a night just like tonight.
People were S-faced about an hour ago.
There was a man committing a sex act on a woman in a fishnet stocking.
Don't electric you!
Charlotte is topless.
Where's my phone, you fat ass?
Ray, look, is officially turned into Sodom and Gomorrah here.
October 25th at the Playboy Mansion, the return of Blotto in the Grotto. And this time...
Let's take a drive, baby.
We're bringing Bonaducci.
Hey, you bitch, I got it out. I'm having a good old time.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, you always try to figure out ways to give away these tickets. You don't want to just give them away. On the other hand, the we idea has been used up by those geniuses in Sacramento. So what do we do? Well... I started thinking, I'm going to be taking lots and lots of pictures. You see, everyone has a camera these days.
I always forget to have a good camera. I never remember. It's right in my pocket with a pack of cigarettes.
If they don't have the camera, they have the camera phone. Either way, there's no way somebody doesn't have a camera on them these days. And I have to take tons of pictures, and I don't like to be the one guy with the big head in the picture. And again, it's all relative. Like I said, you're walking around, and you're 250 pounds, and you're in between Matthew McConaughey and Lance Armstrong, and they're on a cycling trip, and their shirts are off, and they're all ripped and sweating. You get in between them. You'll be the fat guy. Mm-hmm. If you're 195 pounds, you will be the fat guy in between the two skinny white guys. But if you got a couple of big fatties, then you're the thin guy. So I wanted a guy with a big head, and he's going to hang out. He can have some beers. I don't need him for anything. He's going to have a big head, and he's going to take pictures with me. And when playmates want to pose and fans want to pose, he'll be the one guy with the big head. And everyone will go, when they get their pictures, who's that guy with the big head? And they'll go, it ain't Carolla. That's for goddamn sure. Now, we realized other folks had their issues. And for Teresa, she feels self-conscious about her nose.
I wonder why.
So we thought... did someone say that? Because I just saw one huge nostril on the other side of the microphone.
This guy came up to me yesterday at that Raiders game that we were all at, and he said, your nose is not big. I don't know what they're talking about.
Except for it sounded like, hey, you know what, bitch? Your nose is not that big.
I just pretend that
I mean, it's giant. Don't get me wrong, dude. But it's not that big.
Dude. He called me dude.
I'm not necessarily
Hey, Jude, I'm saving time. Hey, Jude, your nose is not that big.
Don't rip off the Beatles, dude. It'll never work. Don't cover the Beatles.
Hey, Jude, your nose is not that big.
My name is Juan Hernandez.
Where is that mini hat you call a yarmulke?
Listen, there are tons of Jews in the city of industry. I mean, wait, once I left, they were
on their Harleys yesterday. By the way, let's pretend I agree and bite your nose, which I do not.
Thank you.
Are you aware that you have great boobs and butt? I mean, like, top notch.
Wow. Where's this coming from?
Just, dude, you're a girl.
Is this growing?
I told you when I first worked here, I can pick a girl from a mile away who I have no shot with, and a girl from a mile away that goes, see that bad boy and that stupid walk he does and that stupid leather jacket he wears? Mm-hmm. I love him.
Right.
I can tell those. Now, 90% of the girls that hate me.
You can't tell a girl with a penis.
I'll tell you what, I'll have you a contest. You take the same chemicals I did, and you say if you can take a girl from a Buick. Okay?
Anyway, like you're lucky you get with a Buick.
You have a top, like a model's body.
Thank you.
So I don't know why you had, and you don't have a big nose. You're not easy to make fun of and make cry, and that's good radio.
It's radio fun.
Yeah, from certain angles, and in some pictures, Adam, it does look unfortunate.
Well,
yeah,
like Mount Rushmore.
Either way, we would like a girl with a large nose.
Oh,
me! 866-901-ADAM. Dooch, your doppelganger's coming, too.
I need a tiny penis.
Yeah.
What are we looking for?
A shortish, red-haired guy.
So we
again,
ask, right?
Then we take that picture. There's a guy with the big head, the chick with the big nose, and the guy who's looking up to Danny with the red hair, and all of a sudden, we're looking like celebrities.
I like this.
Let me explain. When Tom Cruise works with a leading woman, do you think he works with a chick that's 5'11 or 6'1 and then they put heels on her? Hell no.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's 5'7.5. You can't work. I mean, that's the way it is. You want to work with Sylvester Stallone or Tom Cruise. You can't be head and shoulders taller than him.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not going to work. It's totally relative. You just look at the camera. I mean, it's like I always said, Andy Richter stood next to Conan O'Brien for years, and Andy Richter is probably 6 foot or 6'1", and Conan O'Brien is like 6'6", and Andy Richter, the first 5 seasons I saw the show, I just thought, who is the short, fat guy?
Yeah, me too.
Oh, it was me.
He's not short and fat. He's just standing next to Conan O'Brien.
Are we looking for women with large noses to accompany us to the Playboy Mansion?
Right. And look, if you're flat-chested and unfunny, that's a plus.
That's just extra.
That's just an extra. But the big nose. They have issues with men.
But it's another day. We'll be looking for more.
Yeah, but we're looking for Danny on another day.
Right,
also, you can go to adamcarolla.com and help us vote on some of the guys with the huge heads. And Scott O'Neill, if you go to adamcarolla.com, he's the leader in my clubhouse. And again, it's not just about being fat or big. There's a certain je ne sais quoi that I'm looking for.
Scott, look at the size of that boy's head.
Scott seems to be in there. Dan L. King has got himself
a king size.
It's egg-shaped, though. It's a little Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah. That's a huge noggin.
Dan L. King, if you go to adamcarolla.com, Dan L. King looks like the guy from The Hills Have Eyes got trapped in a hometown buffet.
Oh, it does.
Wow.
That's what that movie would look like.
Oh, my God. I was actually looking down. That's a big noggin.
Yes.
He not only looks like that guy, it's an old film that everybody's seen, the big fat guy in like a leotard, and he gets shot in the stomach with a cannonball.
Yes.
He also looks like the cannonball head.
He looks like when he got shot with his own head.
Stuck there on his neck.
Chris Sullivan, I'm going to give points to because he's holding a basketball next to his head for scale.
I like that.
Although it could be a pomegranate. I don't know. His head is so big. Quinn Zimmerman has an action shot of him dunking his head into something. I think he's bobbing for chins. He came up with a few. So Quinn Zimmerman, the
definitely
mighty
not player. A Jew.
Hoss Yokota. Not only is his name Hoss, but he gave a front and back shot. He's a huge. He essentially has a vagina in the back of his head. He has a huge neck roll.
All right, who's going to get wasted enough to do it?
You could easily do the back of Hoss's neck.
How much?
Greg Paulson, looking at big head, but just sort of like one of those guys out of the Big and Tall magazines.
Right.
Attractive man. Then there's Kevin Menke and, ooh, Jared Love. Is it Love Rack?
Sure.
Huh.
This guy's got a big bean on him, too.
And these are all on AdamCarolla.com?
Yes. Yeah, you can go to AdamCarolla.com. I still like Scott O'Neill.
Okay, so I was going to say we're not tipping the scales by saying who we like.
You know what? It's hard to pick a winner amongst these giant-headed champs.
Yeah, but there's a big-ass head in that pile.
There's probably three or four guys that would work quite easily. So if you want to go to AdamCarolla.com, look at the guys with the massive cabezas and vote. I'm not going to stop you. Let's see, Ashley.
Ooh, our first big nose girl.
Has herself a big schnoz. Ashley?
Hello.
How you doing with the big nose?
I'm chilling.
Mm-hmm. And how old are you?
I'm 20.
And how do you know you have a big nose? Have people told you? Is it something you've been thinking about?
Have you ever actually performed nasal?
I've gone through the whole junior high thing where people call you, like, every name in the book from, like, Judah.
Wow.
Judah?
No,
nice
not.
Name.
Are you Jewish?
No, I'm not.
And have you ever thought about having a nose job?
I have. Honestly, I have.
Have you ever gone in for a consultation?
No.
And what's stopping you from getting a nose job?
Lack of credit.
So wow. You just want the money. I mean, you don't have the money to get the nose. If you had the money, you'd get a nose job.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely not a Jew.
Okay, and can you submit your picture to AdamCarolla.com so we can vote on it?
I can send it through MySpace.
I guess you'd send it to me.
All right.
Then go to Bonaduce 318.
Okay.
Bonaduce 318.
Well, wait a second. Do we have a way to do this?
I just print it out.
I know we could do it that way, but... Than everyone, because we got more to do.
We got
hundreds of people. So is there a way to do this?
Right.
I think Teddy, the phone screener, is going to take the information down and post the photos.
Okay. So Teddy will work it out. You can go through Bonaduce, but Teddy, you don't hang up on anyone without getting them. So,
By the way, you don't have to be a chick with a huge schnoz to write me in MySpace. You can be just a hot chick and say, come on over. That'll work too. Bonaduce 318 season.
Ashley.
Adam.
Do you use your nose? That's the real question, because if you're a receptionist, well, it's no good, but if you look for truffles or something like that, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I've started to decorate it.
Your nose.
Uh-oh. Too good. It's pierced?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Draw attention to it by hanging a chandelier off it. Smooth.
Well, no, and then another thing, too, is I'm lacking in the chest department.
Ooh, so, because that's one thing I was noticing about Teresa, is that her nose does not surpass her chest. It doesn't go up past her breasts.
Thankfully.
Well, you'd be in trouble if those will... Anyway, yeah. So if your nose goes out past your boobs, that's got to be an issue for a girl.
Yeah. I will say this, Adam. I did have a consultation with a plastic surgeon a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, you know what? Your nose is in harmony with your face. I wouldn't touch it. Then he took a beat and he said... I might think about the breasts.
Well, he might. Little whore.
It did add to his credibility about my nose.
It did.
I disagree. It added to his credibility as a man. Watch, I'll do the exact same thing. No, I think your nose is great, but I'm going to give a little thought to your boobs. Night at night by myself.
Sarah Silverman was telling me last weekend that when she came out here to L.A., that... her roommate said, look, you got to go get your eyebrows done, and sent her to her beautician or whatever the hell they are and said, you got to go there, get your eyebrows done. So she went in, she's waiting in the waiting room, and then the wax lady went and got her and said, okay, Sarah Silverman? Okay, so just the mustache? Or... See, it's a bad time when you go in to talk about something and they want to talk about something else that's either just as bad or even more obvious. Let's see. Kylie?
Kyle.
Oh, Kyle. Oh, I just made you into a Kylie because I was looking for chicks. You have a huge nose?
I do have a huge nose. I know you're looking for girls, but I figured, hey, might as well try.
If you had a huge nose and a medium-sized vagina, we could take you, Kyle. I do like the way the human brain works, which is we called for girls with huge snozzes, so I saw Kyle.
Made it Kylie.
And I decided it was Kylie.
Well, every guy wants to go to the Playboy Mansion, but I don't know if women are dying to go there enough to say they have a big nose.
No. I believe you're wrong just out of pure curiosity. Everybody wants to see what happens at the place. Is it everything you've heard? Is it as beautiful as you've heard? Is there really a zoo? Is there really a grotto? So I think every person wants to go for one reason or another. I think girls, what did we read yesterday? Out of rich men and rich women, who cheats more? Rich women.
Uh-huh.
Women want to get laid, and men are at the Playboy Mansion with a constant erection. My friend's name.
I'll tell
the way,
you what you should go. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what's worth the price of admission at the Playboy Mansion. You go to the Playboy Mansion. You're standing around the lawn. You hear this. And you look up 700 feet to the world's highest pine tree, and one of those pine trees that has been there for 5,000 years, and it's literally 200 feet tall. And you look at the very top, and on the top branches, the male peacocks are standing on the branches.
God, they're noisy.
And you go, that peacock is 900 feet above the ground. And then the guy standing next to you goes, uh-huh. And you go, I didn't even know peacocks flew. And he goes, evidently they do. And you go, how the hell did that peacock get to the top of that tree? It doesn't even look like it has wings. It's because that big plumage sticking out of its ass. And everyone goes, I don't know. And then you talk to a guy who works there, and you go, how'd that peacock get to the top of the tree? I didn't know they flew. And he goes, I don't know. I guess it flew there. And you go, how long have you worked here? And he goes, 22 years. And you go, you ever see the peacock? And they go, every night. And you go, but have you ever seen him fly up? Never have. So you just look up, and the peacock's on the top of the tree. Yeah, that's right. And where is the peacock like the next morning? He's down on the ground. Do you see him? Does he climb? Never. I don't know. Does he climb? Sure. I don't work. See, I mean, that's it. So you will stare at a tree with the biggest, best-looking peacocks, and they're 900 feet above the ground, and you're like, how the F did they get up there? No one has ever seen them climb up or fly up. They're just there. All right. We need to take a break. Hold on. Greg?
Yeah?
You submitted your big head picture?
I did.
What's your last name, Greg?
Paulson.
I don't think here you are. Yeah, Greg, I was commenting about you. You got a big head.
It's all head. I mean, there's no two chins about it.
No, I like the big head, but you're attractive. You know, you look like one of those big and tall models.
Yeah,
it's a good photo.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, Greg.
No, it's not. It might be a good photo of you.
Greg, do me a favor.
Sure.
Submit another picture that's not as flattering.
Okay.
Because I don't want someone saying, hey, that guy with the huge head's a lot better looking than Corolla.
Oh, that
You know what I mean? When they're looking at the pictures.
Also, there's a height issue because you're tall, Adam. If somebody's head is way beneath yours, that's going to be a problem.
How tall are you, Greg?
6 foot.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
That'll work. Wear the plants.
200 pounds.
We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, Tony Hawk. Now, ladies, again, if you have a big schnoz and you want to go to the Playboy Mansion, 866-901-ADAM. Tell Teddy your info, and we'll see you at the Playboy Mansion. Tony Hawk, legendary skateboarder. Tony Hawk, next on The Adam Carolla Show.
This is The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's coming up this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
It's Trains of the ACK, peeps! Today, skateboarding legend Tony Hawk! From Saturday Night Live and Anchorman, David Gechner, Oakland Raiders linebacker Kirk Morrison, and the director of Hostel and Hostel 2, Eli Roth. Hey, Hostel, good name for TSV, because it costs practically nothing to spend the night there, and it's full of dirty European backpackers. Wait.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey. Jack crossed the line. I'm going to talk to him after the show. Hey, Tony Hawk is on the phone. Here's a cool thing about Tony Hawk. You don't have to say skateboarder Tony Hawk. You don't have to say ex-gamer Tony Hawk. You just have to say Tony Hawk.
Every single one of them, you'd have to say what they do, except for Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk?
What's up?
What's happening, Tony? Good to talk to you, as usual. Hey, Tony.
Yo.
Where are you at? Carlsbad?
I am actually in New York City.
Mm-hmm. And you're there for the release of Tony Hawk's Proving Ground?
Yes, indeed.
And how much skateboarding do you do these days, Tony?
You know, I skate quite a bit. I skate probably 3 or 4 times a week. I still do a lot of exhibitions. I just finished a skating video. So, you know, I'm walking the walk.
And how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
39.
39. Now, most of the guys who compete in the X game are like 11 and 12 years old, right? I mean, are there, what is the oldest guy who's competing out there at like the X Games level?
You know what? Honestly, well, in the ramp, like what I do in the vert ramp, most of those guys are in their 30s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I mean, everyone looks young, and everyone's got helmets and whatnot. The street guys are all over the map. There's guys that are, you're right, there are guys that are teenagers, and then there are guys that are in their mid, late 20s, even early 30s on the street.
I've got to say, that street stuff is the hairiest, scariest, most difficult, and probably least appreciated sport around. I mean, when you see a guy just at some church going down some railing and there's 26 stairs and he does the entire rail on the board and then lands and then sticks the landing, it just looks like it was done with CGI. It looks like that was computer generated. How could you do that?
It's like you're defying gravity in those kung fu movies.
Right.
Except these guys, you can stay. You can watch it. The gravity does pull them back to the ground and sometimes hard.
On their head, yeah. Tony,
yeah,
how much street stuff did you do? Because I've not seen you do a lot of that.
You know, I did my fair share, especially when it was became like a discipline. Because it was just something that we thought, you know, as far as street goes, it was transportation for us, and we'd grind the curb once in a while. And then once people started realizing you could ollie with the board, you know, without touching it, lift into the air and grind on benches and handrails, it was just a whole new thing. About 7 or 8 years ago, I realized that I get hurt way more riding street and rolling my ankles, and if I wanted to continue with my skating career, I better back off and
just
do the ramp
stick
thing.
Stick with the ramp. And what about, what's the mega huge ramp to ramp, the big air? What's the, not the half pipe, but the...
Right.
What's that one?
Well, the distance of it, the jump is 50 feet on the what they call the small part, and then the bigger jump is 70 feet, and then the actual quarter pipe is, I think, 28 feet high.
Now, what happened this year at the X Games? That guy got about 35 feet of air in the quarter pipe after he hit the, and he just flattened out at the bottom. I mean, when your shoes pop off, that's a bad sign.
Yep.
You know what it was, though? I mean, a lot of people saw that, and they think, like, that epitomizes what we do. Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, like, Jake, he's one of the best riders of that kind of ramp. And for him, it was the perfect storm of mistakes. It was like he jumped the furthest jump, 70 feet. He was a little off kilter on his landing, and then he tried to traverse the whole ramp so that he could go the direction that he had planned. And in doing that, he missed his pump, so his legs were fully bent at the top of the ramp, and then he ejected with the most amount of speed, the most air, and the most force out towards the flat. So it was like, you know, that was the worst thing that could have obviously, there are worse things that could happen.
Yeah, he lived. I mean, he's all right now, right?
Yeah. I just saw him a few days ago.
But it was, and look, probably ends up doing more for the sport or more for X Games in general just because it leads the news when it may not. I mean, it was all over the place.
Absolutely. And to know that he walked away from it is a testament to, you know, these guys and their resilience and their dedication to what we do. So, you know, I'm proud of him. And you know, he was on a whirlwind media tour after that. He was on Larry King.
Right. Please don't get offended by this. By the way, you and I have met several times. This is Danny Bonaducci. We got some tattoos together one night.
Yes.
When you say this does not epitomize, you wouldn't want people to think this is epitomizing what we do. But please don't get your feeling hurt, but it does epitomize what we want you to do.
We'd like to see that.
No, I know. I mean, hey, you know, that if a lot of people saw that as the highlight. It hit 6 million hits on YouTube the next day.
And, right.
And as skaters, like, we weren't trying to distance ourselves from that. It was like, hey, Jake, you know, he paid the price of making these giant ramps and going for it, and he lived to tell, and we are proud of him.
Hey, Tony Hawk of Tony Hawk's Proving Ground,
yeah.
New video game, released tomorrow. Tony Hawk, did you grow up in San Diego or somewhere in that area?
Yep.
All right, now imagine a 9-year-old Tony Hawk sitting home in his parents' crappy house in San Diego, looking at a black and white Zenith television, holding a Black Knight skateboard with clay wheels and open bearings, right?
Yes.
In 1974. And imagine seeing what we were just talking about. What's that?
Were you spying on me back then?
I had a camera. I was actually in the bathroom, Tony, so we got to talk. But the point is imagine seeing the X Games and seeing what we just talked about with that massive big air ramp and all that stuff. Imagine seeing that and then looking down at your Black Knight skateboard with the clay wheels and going, this is where this is heading.
I'd probably throw it away.
Your head would have exploded, right? Because at that point, you've never even seen a guy skate a pool.
Right. Plus, we might never have flight.
Right, right.
Orville and Wilbur Wright made bicycles.
Right.
Imagine if they already thought, oh, they can already fly.
You know,
why bother?
Honestly, what drew me in is back then when I was when I had a crappy skateboard and riding down the street, I went to the liquor store and bought a skate magazine, and I saw pictures of guys doing aerials out of pools. You know, they're going maybe a foot or two above the lip.
Right.
But that was it. I wanted to fly. That's how I wanted to keep skating, because these guys could fly, and that's what I wanted to do.
Back in the day, back in Tony's day, they would skate the pools with the water in them.
Wow.
That's badass.
Hardcore. A lot of his friends drowned coming up, but it's all they had. Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
Much love to you, my brother.
Thank you very much.
Tony Hawk's Proving Ground, name of the new video game.
Yeah, it's our best one yet.
You got any new tats since I saw you last?
I do not. I have exactly two. I have our Hawk logo, like our Hawk clothing logo, on my ankle, and then I have an L on my ring finger, and that's about it.
All you skaters should just get bullseyes on your elbows, knees, and right ass cheek.
I keep one on my back.
It's going to all get scraped off. All right, Tony, good talking to you.
All right, thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
We need to take a quick break, T.
Yep.
The news, what's coming up in it?
Well, Jimmy Kimmel is going to be performing an amazing feat of his own. Have you heard about this?
I did yesterday, actually, yeah.
We will discuss it. And also, a fight broke out between a man with a karaoke machine and another man with a vacuum. Who won?
I don't know, but the fight sucked.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with the news next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. On the way this morning, the director of Hostel 2, Eli Roth. Your chance to score tickets to Blotto in the Grotto, our Halloween party at the Playboy Mansion. Anchorman's David Koechner. And it's another Music Monday. Songs you do and don't want to hear when you're knocked down and trying to get up during a UFC fight. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, now, my absolute favorite time of the show, Teresa Strasser in the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
California Highway Patrol is reporting this morning that most lanes of the I-5 have reopened. On Friday, there was a crash involving 28 trucks and a passenger vehicle, which sparked an inferno that killed two men and a baby. It's terrible, terrible all weekend traffic. As I said, the interstate was shut down. There was a massive fire here. L.A. Fire Chief John Tripp explains just how intense the resulting blaze was.
The vehicles were completely consumed in the fire. The fire burned for approximately, in a very intense state, for approximately 4 hours. And basically consumed everything that was burnable.
Yeah. It's great. Fire's great. I mean, in that eventually everything burns. Oh, you don't think steel burns? Well, you got to put enough Jet A fuel on it. It eventually burns. You don't think aluminum siding burns? You don't, stuff that never burned before will eventually start burning. Rocks start melting.
It got up to 1400 degrees in that tunnel.
Yeah. They'll always do that thing where they'll go, oh, the fire was so intense, teeth caught on fire and jewelry that had burst stones burst into flames. Like, really? Wow. So I understand the paper and wood part, but the part where the steel and all the other stuff that's not really combustible eventually catches on fire.
They said it reached over 1,000 degrees in there.
It's bad times.
Yes, very bad times.
And it goes to show you, again, how poorly the state is planned, that there's one freeway, and if the freeway tunnel, the one tunnel and the one freeway gets screwed up, well, then the town comes to a halt. Do you know what I mean? What year are we living in? Where's the light rail system? Where is it? Where's all the transportation? Remember, Remember the oil embargo in the very early 70s, which is now 35 effing years old? Remember everyone with the doom and gloom by the year 2000? We're not going to be able, we're going to be out of oil. We're going to need transportation. Our kids are not going to be. We've done nothing. Here's what we did. We added a ninth seat to the Denali. That was our plan.
That's important.
Here's how we handled it. Perhaps if we put some 24-inch rims on that Denali, that would solve the problem. And they should spin, even when the car stopped. Fantastic.
I must say I was surprised. I mean, you hate to say that there were only three fatalities, but it seems like it could have been way worse.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, out of New York, here's a story from Uniondale, which is on Long Island, and it's very bizarre. A 64-year-old man whose name's not been released was sitting at home when a 27-year-old man named Luis Hidalgo, who's also from Uniondale, randomly busted through the front door. Luis started punching and kicking the 64-year-old guy for no apparent reason, then picked up the guy's karaoke machine and started swinging it at him. The man tried to defend himself, so he grabbed the only thing that was close, a vacuum cleaner.
Mm.
Luis and the man proceeded to have their...
upright or canister?
I don't know. Luis and the man proceeded to have their karaoke machine versus vacuum cleaner duel.
I did it out. I dueled it with an intruder. I had an upright, and he got me down to the ground. He was able to subdue me and knock the vacuum cleaner out of my hand. But what he didn't know is I had a dustbuster in my boot. And while he was on top of me, choking me out with one of the attachments, you know, because they have extra, you know, the one with the little skinny nozzle on it to get behind stuff.
He was
choking me out with that baby.
Right.
I reached in my boot, pulled out the dustbuster, and pow. One sucked to the front temple. He was down.
Unfortunately, in this case, the man with
always
the vacuum
keep
cleaner,
a dustbuster in your boot. That's
right.
My grandfather used to tell me.
It's a good thing to know.
You catch a guy cheating at a card table. Some trick goes bad, and a pimp comes by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Always. That's right. Always keep the dustbuster in the boot, even at home.
A PCP dealer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out the dustbuster right away.
Well, in this case, the man with the karaoke machine possibly got the worst of the man with the vacuum cleaner because he had one of his ears lopped off with a well-timed karaoke machine swing, which is very unfortunate. The man, innocent man, just sitting in his home. The cops came and Luis didn't try to run. He just squatted in the hallway. He was arrested for burglary and assault. Mm. And the cops think, since there was zero connection between him and the victim, that he may have been high at the time.
How can there be zero connection between two guys that fight with objects like that? They have related.
Previous to the melee. I know, it does seem strange. Doctors were not able to reattach the guy's ear, I should say.
Please pick your home cleaning devices at noon and sunrise.
Yeah. Well, now was the guy singing Neil Diamond and that's what started, or was just sitting home?
If he had been singing Neil Diamond, would it have been...
Would have been ironic if he was singing Coming to America and the guy who swam to America killed him with the karaoke machine. Yeah.
Now, Jimmy Kimmel, your friend, he is going to have a crazy time next week. He's filling in for Regis Philbin on Live with Regis and Kelly. Regis is on vacation next week.
I had to just call him Regis Philbin because he's never there at this
he's
point.
He's gone a lot.
Change his last name to Philbin. Yeah.
Well,
Regis Philbin.
Regis Philbin and Kelly film their show in New York City. Jimmy Kimmel Live tapes here in Los Angeles. Kimmel is going to do both shows every day from their original locations by flying back and forth.
That's
crazy.
He's insane. Well, I talked to him about it yesterday. He's flying the ABC private jet, which is nice. And Jimmy has narcolepsy, or he's really bored by my conversations, or maybe both, because he can fall asleep standing up. Jimmy can fall asleep standing in a shower. He can just fall asleep wherever he is. So if you can fall asleep wherever you are and you have that 5.5 or 6 hour flight back and forth, well, then and it's a corporate jet. I guess you can spread out and sleep on the jet. It's still obviously a very tall order if you do the math and you do the time difference and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy. And he is second to maybe only Ryan Seacrest. Those two should have kids, by the way, so they could give work.
That's a frightening thought.
The world's hardest working comedians. But he will sleep on the plane. I knew this with Jimmy. I knew Jimmy always had narcolepsy and always fell asleep. But as I've told you before, we were flying to New York to turns out, I guess, this is when he first met Sarah Silverman. And I don't mean met and fell in love with. I just think the first time they met, as I think about it now, is when we were all doing the roast for Hugh Hefner in New York City, literally 9 days after 9/11. And we were the only ones stupid enough to get on an airplane and head for the Twin Towers just a week, really, after 9/11. And Jimmy explained to me when everyone was saying to us, where are you going? And we said, to the airport. They all went, wow, you're a better man than I. And we said, thank you, you a-holes, because we're not going to cancel our flights. But thanks for giving us something to think about while we're taxing. Jimmy said to me, he said, and he was very serious, he said, we're flying first class. He said, I'm going to be like a guard dog. I'm going to be like a middle linebacker standing in that aisle. If I see anyone with brown eyes, yep. I don't care if it's a chick and she's pushing a service tray, I will take her ass down. So I'm sitting in the chair that's going to be closest to the aisle. We're sitting all the way up front in first class. And he said, my head's going to be on a swivel like a middle linebacker dropping back into his hook zone. I said, fine, Kimmel. We were taxiing. He was passed out. He was passed out before the plane got off the ground. He was sawing logs while we were backing away from the gate.
Makes you feel safe.
Yes, Mitchell.
That's why I want to have my back.
So the point is I think he's going to be able to sleep on the plane, but still,
wow.
It's a tall order.
That is
a tall
crazy. Order.
And you know what? If I did that, I'd probably get about two shows in, and then I'd just hit the wall. And I'd just be standing there. I'd be all... But my eyes would be all bloodshot. I'd be frazzled. I'd be drinking just Red Bull. And Kelly would be like, in Central Park, a rich jogger would be like, shut up, bitch.
I'm so sick of you.
God damn. Oh, if I have to hear another thing about your effing kids. Please, let's just bring Jeff Probst out here and get this S over with. God damn. Huh? What's his name? What's the producer's name? Marty, whatever.
Ingles.
Whatever your name
it's
is.
Marty Ingles.
Yeah, okay. We got some stuff to give away from the to the audience. Just like take your crap and get the F out of here. God damn.
Jimmy, this is really rude. You were so nice to me on Monday.
Shut up, you little minx.
You love my kids.
Do you ever stop smiling? You know what I think would take the smile off your face?
What?
Nice backhand. Bitch.
I don't care for this.
Just give me the Red Bull.
Bring back Clay Aiken.
What else is going on with the news? Yes.
So you think by Friday he's going to get a little grouchy?
I say he walks out with his fly open. Pillow head. You know, he has a pillow hair.
Right.
His bed head. He'll have one of his, one half his shirt will be untucked and he'll have an erection.
Wow.
It'll
wow.
be punchy.
A little experience I've had at this, he will, by Wednesday, and I promise you this, it sounds like, well, that must have happened to you, but I've seen it happen to other people. By Wednesday, he won't be sure what day it is about anything. He'll say yesterday or tomorrow and mean days from now or days ago.
Right.
And he'll also forget which stories he told where.
Yeah, I'll be like, hey, Gelman, I got a good story. Yesterday, I was celebrating my 13th birthday, and my dad took us to the park, huh, in his hovercraft because it was the year 2059. What day is it?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I had a guy when I was doing mornings in Detroit and afternoons in Chicago, and his entire job after I realized what was happening was to nod or shake his head to let me know I have or have not told this story yesterday on the same station.
Oh, yeah, oh,
be
because
nice
different stations.
Yeah, and different formats. One was like Ryan Seacrest kind of show, all top 40-ish.
Right.
But they're the same topics. You just change who's the villain, if you will, why you want people to call in. And literally, they just shake their head like, no, you just told this story yesterday. Don't do it.
Well,
you forget totally.
If you ever worry about that here, Brian has a secret code, which is called checking his MySpace.
Ah.
So if you see him checking his MySpace, that means the story has already been told.
Right. Now, a new celebrity baby name.
Yes.
Is here for you guys to either laugh at or enjoy.
Always judge.
The Red Hot Chili Pepper singer Anthony Kiedis and his girlfriend have a new son, and his name is Everly Bear.
Everly Bear.
Everly Bear. He explains, quote, we had a long list of names, but I suppose it came to me by way of the Everly Brothers. You're listening to them now, which is one of my favorite bands, and sometimes last names make good first names. But why Bear? He says she, meaning his girlfriend, Heather Christie, came up with Bear. That made sense to me because he's from me, and I feel like I'm part of the Bear clan, and I think it's nice to have a little bit of earth in your name.
You know, and that guy's been sober a long time, too, and still made that choice.
No excuse,
Part now, Bear.
Let me ask this.
Maybe
this
he means Bear like that big homo magazine for hairy guys?
Right, Bears.
The Bears, right?
Jimmy's on the cover this month, so please don't make fun of it.
Sorry.
The ultimate prize. What was that? A live version of Wake Up Little Susie? It was a weird version of this Everly Brothers.
I'm way too young to know.
They also, well, they have a bunch of hits. And they're kind of cool band from the 50s and 60s.
I think Everly's a cute name.
Yeah, Everly's cute. And look, here's the thing about the middle name. If the middle name is the middle name, then you're fine.
Right. How do you
mean, your middle name, I don't have one. No. But if your middle name is Aloysius, but your name is Steve Aloysius Johnson, then you're just Steve Johnson, and there's no big deal. So is Bear the middle name, or is that the whole...
Bear's the middle name.
No, all right. Well, do whatever you want with the middle name.
Everly Bear.
Yeah.
It's cute. And at the box office this weekend, number one, Tyler Perry and Janet Jackson's Why Did I Get Married? Made $21.5 million. Number two, The Game Plan.
Hold on. Let me say something about that Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
Ugh. This guy makes gazillions of dollars because he goes on Oprah and he plugs his movies and they do great at the box office and all that. And I decided to watch one, like a Big Mama's Family or whatever the hell Tyler Perry. Oh, I don't know. Whatever the hell the last one was or the first one was. Not a good movie. Horribly written. Super sappy. Like the serious stuff is ridiculously bad. And it's really bad. It's really bad. But no one can say it's bad because it's not Barbershop or Friday. It's not black folk doing the way over the top, and it's not the gangbanger thing. It's like black folk being portrayed in a very positive light, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's just a kind of a crappy movie, but nobody can say anything bad about it because it's not gangbangers and it's not way over the top Eddie Murphy characters and it's nobody doing soft shoe and it's none of the ridiculous kind of stuff you're used to seeing. It is just, it's the big what the hell was that? What's that movie where all the white folks went to go stay in a place together? The Big Chill. It's the black Big Chill, except for the movies always blow ass. But if anyone says anything bad about it, then it's racist because black folks are lawyers and they're doctors and they're married couples and there's none of that baby's daddy
so
stuff.
I have to like Big Mama's Family. It's the law.
If you're a critic or you're whoever and you just basically compare that movie to other romantic comedies, those Tyler Perry movies suck. But you can't say anything bad about them because it's nice to have movies where black couples are married and they're together and nobody's got a gat and no one's a pimp and no one's a hoe and people are doctors and lawyers. So Oprah has to have him on the show, applaud him and explain what a genius he is. Meanwhile, the movies suck. Thank you.
So if you don't like something syrupy, you could go for the gritty realism of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
Which came in at number two.
That movie's made $200 billion, has it not?
It's up to a total of $59.4 million. It's only been out 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's number one or number two, like, every week.
Yeah, number three, George Clooney's thriller Michael Clayton. And rounding out the top five, We Own the Night and The Heartbreak Kid. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All right. I had to watch Tyler Perry and Janet Jackson and Oprah get into a huge daisy chain of ass kissing on Oprah. I'm forced to watch Oprah on Sundays.
Right, because you watch all last week's on Sunday.
That's right.
All of them?
I have to. No, here's what it is.
I sold this to Batman trying to get him to watch all the Oprahs.
I got to get it, Chivo.
I have to pay the fiddler Sunday morning.
You're a homo.
My wife knows that about 10:30 or 11 in the morning, I'm going over to Kimmel's to drown myself in Miller chills.
Right.
That's my life and eat whatever Jimmy has at his house.
Fair enough.
So from 8:30 a.m. to 10:30, we have to lay in bed, play with the kids, and watch Oprah.
Dude, are you gay?
That's that's me paying the fiddler, and then I get to take off.
Yeah, but that sounds like a paradise. You got the babies, you got Molly the dog, you're together, you got some Oprahs.
Good times, but as soon as the clock strikes 11, I bolt out of bed and run for Kimmel's house. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Speaking of movies, Eli Roth from Hostel. Well, I say from Hostel, writer, director, the man behind Hostel 1 and Hostel 2, by the way. Eli Roth is coming in here next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. Just in time for Halloween, the writer and director of the Hostel movies, Eli Roth, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Eli.
Good to be here, Adam.
Eli's, Hostel, the first one, cost $1.5
million. That was my first film, Cabin Fever.
Cabin Fever?
I increased the budget to a whopping $4 million for the first Hostel.
Wow. What did the first Hostel make in the theaters?
Worldwide, it made $80 million.
Doggone it.
Which is
and
shocking.
Possibly one of the most gnarly movies I ever saw.
Oh, thanks, Danny.
I'll take my kid to anything, you know, that doesn't have too much sex.
Yeah.
And, you know, but she was, and when a kid admits I'm too afraid because of what I've heard, that means it's a spooky, scary movie.
Yeah, there were actual running vomits. There were reports.
Oh, really?
There are people
trying to run.
The theater, and there was
run?
Actual, you could see Harry Knowles on his website, Any Cool News, put a projectile vomit. They took photos of it.
Wow.
So, remember in the old days when they used to warn you as a publicity stunt?
Give you the
you
vomit
may get
bag.
Sick if you're pregnant.
Nurses,
you should leave their
name.
Remember that?
Right.
They should have done this in Hostel, man. It was rad, dude.
I wanted that. I wanted them to hand out Hostel barf bags and
remember
stuff.
Remember the one where they flashed red before something horrible happened?
Something horrible would happen. But people were actually running down the stairs and passing out and puking. It was great. That to me, for
it's like my comedy.
For jerks like that, that's like a standing ovation.
Yeah,
that's the highest honor you could receive.
What was the scene that incited vomit?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, there were a couple of them. I think there's a scene where a girl's face is getting burned by a blowtorch and her eyeball is hanging out, and then the guy slices it with the scissors and the goo runs out. We called it the eyegasm scene.
Did
awesome, man.
Eli Roth is in here, the brains behind the Hostel.
The Hostel franchise.
So when you're coming up with those scenes and you wrote them, so mm-hmm. I'm guessing you did, what do you do? I mean, how's the process work?
Well, there's a couple things. It's always inspired by something that happens in the news. Like, you see these Al-Qaeda videos and these people in these chairs, and you read stories about people torturing each other with power drills in Iraq, and mm-hmm. just thinking, like, God, what if that was happening to me? And then when you're writing the scene, you go over to Home Depot, and you walk around, and you look at the different tools, and you think, okay, what tool could you use that wouldn't just kill someone instantly? And then you start to think about the client. You think, okay, if this was someone's first time, would they want to use a chainsaw, or would they want to use a gun, or if they were an expert, did they have their favorite tool? So it's just a combination.
I've got one.
What's that?
Potato peeler.
Oh, potato peeler would be horrible.
Wouldn't that be horrible, man? Cheese grater is second.
And you also start to think about what would be too painful for the audience to watch. Because I went to these museums.
Well, you did not think of that, lying bastard.
I did. They have these museums of torture all over Europe. And you go in, and every city you see what the church actually did for a period of 250 years. And it's like the stuff is so unbelievably painful and gnarly, you couldn't even film it.
Now you have mental problems,
you had ideas,
man,
that you threw out. Because they were too gross?
Yeah, he threw up.
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, there's stuff that's too gross. Because at a certain point, look, if you want to be gross, that's easy. It's how do you be gross in a way that gets the audience riled up and screaming and cheering? And there's a fine line.
Must have been nice, Eli Roth over at the Home Depot in Glendale, looking at the Sawzalls, and a guy, old guy, salt and pepper, comes by. He's got a nice mustache, wearing a vest with his name on it. Says Wayne. Hi, son. Can I help you? Yeah, I'm looking at the Sawzalls. Well, what are you doing? Some plumbing? Are you doing some demolition? How long to saw through a femur bone with one of those? Let me get someone else to help you. I'm coming in.
Floyd knows that. He's the quiet one.
Yeah.
It was like that. And then actually, Quentin Tarantino was very helpful. We kind of role played. And I was like, he's like, okay, if you're in the chair and I have this tool, what would happen? And we just sort of acted it out. And we thought, you know, what's going too far? I said, well, if you chop off my hands, then I'm going to bleed to death because they're down here. But, all right, what if we just chopped off two fingers? And I could, you know, so it's helpful to have friends.
But at a certain point during the evening, you noticed that Quentin had an erection.
Yeah.
And that's when you called it a night.
By the way, the one thing that we had these weird leather costumes, and that was the one thing that was in the script that I was sorry I couldn't film, is that while the guy was torturing the kid as he's about to get get killed noticed that the guy killing him had a huge erection. And and we had it all, but it's just because of the leather apron, it couldn't quite poke through. But that was something that happened.
Well, speaking of Quentin Tarantino, you did an episode or a segment of Grindhouse as well.
Thanksgiving.
Which one was yours?
Mine was Thanksgiving. If you notice, there were the fake trailers in between the movies.
Right.
And mine was the guy, it was like a fake 80s slasher movie called Thanksgiving. And at the end, you know, there's a guy who's stuffed like a human turkey on a table. And then the killer actually takes a decapitated head and puts it on the turkey and then has sex with that turkey.
How did you get hooked
up? Something goes too far.
Exactly. I was tasteful in that one.
How does the journey go for Eli Roth? I mean, where do you start? How do you get hooked up with Tarantino? How do you get the backing to do your first movie? Where does it all begin?
It kind of begins at my bar mitzvah, where I announced that I wanted to be a director, and I got sawed in half with a chainsaw. And my cake was a slate splattered with blood.
Oh, really?
I swear. And because, shockingly, I wasn't friends with any girls, we watched Mother's Day, which is one of my favorite slasher
films.
You're
not kidding. This really was
no
your bar mitzvah.
No, literally, I put like photos of me on MySpace getting, you know, sawed, you know, from my bar mitzvah.
A Jew in the movie industry?
I know, it's shocking. Imagine. My parents said never.
And usually, so, we just do the money lending.
And I went.
Next thing, there'll be comics.
And I went to film school at NYU, and all I was doing, everyone was making these kind of short films about the Holocaust and divorce and AIDS, and I was making Ronald McDonald getting decapitated. And all I've ever wanted to do is make horror movies. And I wrote Cabin Fever when I was 22 and spent 6 years raising the money and finally sold it at a festival, and Quentin saw it and loved it. And I became friends with him and told him the idea for Hostel, and he loved that and kind of helped me out with it.
I've always thought to myself, you know, once in a while they do one of these big sweeping things that takes place in the turn of the century in Ireland, and it's got Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman and all that kind of stuff. And then there are these just movies that are $150 million in the budget, and they always get smashed by some $2 million slasher film that's in the theater next to it. And I thought, if you're just talking about making your money back, and ultimately it does get down to that in this industry, it seems like this would be the genre that most people would go, because for a very small amount of money and a lot of creativity, you can come up with something really interesting, and everyone, it never goes out of style. Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to see one of these movies.
You nailed it exactly. And that's what I looked at my favorite directors, like Sam Raimi made Evil Dead for $350,000, and John Carpenter made Halloween for $400,000. Toby Hooper made the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre for $60,000. Night of the Living Dead was done for, you know, $12,000. I mean, so many of my favorite movies were done for well under $500,000 that, you know, when I cobbled together $1.5 million, and the average budget now is $80 or $90 million. $1.5 million for Cabin Fever, it's like no one's looking. No one's paying attention. You just go nuts. There's this weird freedom you have where it's like, well, there's no expectations, and let's just go as crazy as we can. And that's the very thing that audiences respond to.
You think it was Robert Townsend that started that with the Hollywood Shuffle?
Hollywood Shuffle. It's up for like $100,000.
What's called short ends.
Credit cards, yeah.
And what happens is, if you've got a 4-minute scene and you've only got 2 minutes of film left in the camera, you throw it away. You just take it off and you discard it.
You know, we made Hustle. You know, Cabin Fever was made on a lot of short ends.
A lot of short ends.
Oh, really?
And also, their credit cards.
Yeah.
You max out, you remortgage your house.
Oh, I
don't have that fever. I really don't. It's like, hire me, tell me how much you're paying me, I will show up and know my lines. Well, anything else, you gotta be you.
When it hits, it's great. I mean, Cabin Fever, we made it for $1.5 million, but it was credit cards. It was all done on credit cards. People put their houses up to make that movie.
Now, so Eli Roth, are you now wealthy because of something like Cabin Fever making okay, good.
Cabin Fever, I made my money back, but it wasn't really until Hostel and Hostel 2 that I became wealthy.
Because the thing about the industry is, I never know who's rich and who isn't. In this industry, just in show business, once in a while you'll hear about some guy who's in a band, and you don't know if the guy's flat broke or he's just living off royalties, you know? And a guy who made a movie for $1 million and it's done 200 million worldwide, and he doesn't have a penny of it, or he has all of it. I never know.
It's amazing. With Cabin Fever, I think all in, the movie cost $1.5 million. I invested my own money, made 30 in the theaters and 70 million on DVD. I probably pocketed, after everything, $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was a huge amount, and I was so excited.
I was
paid in debt, and it was like 10. I was like, all right, now I have $100,000 that I can, you know, rent a place and write. And then finally with Hostel, when Hostel hit, and I actually didn't really get my big check from Hostel until this August.
Mm-hmm.
It's like from the first hostel, a year and a half later.
Well, hostel
over $1 million.
And then I wound up taking a salary of $10,000 on hostel, betting that the film would do well.
Right.
And the film just exploded.
So your big check, was it, I won't ask too personally, but was it over $1 million?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen a really check happy. Written out to anybody for $1 million? It just was paid to the order of, and this is $1 million.
I've seen them on styrofoam backer board that are like 8 feet long. Without Ed McMahon standing nearby.
I saw one for my book, my advance. David payable to Danny Bonaducci, $100,000. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to frame it more than cash. I couldn't believe it. And then I bought a boat and crashed it.
Into an airplane.
It was worse.
Hey, Eli, so what's next for Eli Roth? I mean, do you want to keep going down the horror slasher genre, or do you dying to do a musical?
I am dying to do
a musical.
What about a combination? Actually, I would want to do a 70s musical involving wizards, movie like Stunt Rock. That's like I don't know if you ever saw Stunt Rock. It's like really bad Kiss kind of music and wizards.
Right.
I'm actually going to do a comedy next called Trailer Trash, excited about. Because my fake trailer was so much fun that I didn't Grindhouse Thanksgiving, that I wanted to do a whole movie kind of based around fake trailers, something like Kentucky Fried Movie or Monty Python and the Holy Grail, something totally silly and ridiculous.
Or The Groove Tube.
Or The Groove Tube. Love Groove Tube.
Real old guys. Hey, put some boobies in it. Do me a favor. I got to tell you this. I did not anticipate this world with no boobies as a young man. As a young man, you would go and see an R movie because there were boobies in it.
Yes.
That's why it was an R movie. And when you're 13 and you wanted to sneak into an R movie to see some boobies, you just endured whatever horrible
movie it was
because an hour and 46 minutes in, you caught half a nip when the chick got out of bed and you could see a profile. Now, there's plenty of blood and guts, but they've removed the boobies from the R.
With Cabin Fever, that was my big mission, was to bring nudity back to horror films.
How could Al Gore have gotten that Nobel Prize?
I think I had like 37 naked breasts in the first hostel. In fact, I had so much female nudity in the first hostel that female fans complained. So I put female nudity in Hostel 2 and actually threw in a lot of male nudity just for the ladies. A lot of sausage.
Notice he said 37.
And then I'm gonna
What do you think happened to Boob 38, Teresa?
Well, got a little chopped up.
Good point.
And I'm going to do an episode of this Hero spinoff called Origins, which will be fun.
That's great.
People wonder about guys like you. Like, I wonder about the cat that wrote 7.
Yeah, people wonder about that guy all the time.
You know? I wonder about you.
It's usually like kind of hot chicks at horror conventions wonder.
Not just. I'm armed to the friggin' teeth. I want you to know that right now.
People are very nice. If people recognize me, they're very polite to me. Like my next door neighbors, they're like, oh, we heard the hostel guy moved in. And they're like, we better be nice and we'll chop us up.
Well, Eli Roth, Hostel Part 2 in theaters.
DVD.
DVD next Tuesday.
And we have the director's cut of the first movie also, with the ending that audiences freaked out too much about.
Anytime he says the word cut of any kind for any reason, even at the end of a scene, I just assume someone's getting slashed.
That happens. You go, cut. No, I'm sorry. Stop the camera.
Eli, great to see you.
Thanks, as usual,
continued success to you. And spread your talented wings and do a comedy with boobies.
Extra boobies just for you.
We need to take a break. When we come back, I think we'll get started on our Music Monday. It's Monday, thus Music Monday, 866-901-ADAM. It is, well, I'll tell you the theme when we get back.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser, where it's another Music Monday. This time around, say you're in a UFC fight and you get knocked down to the mat. What song do you want to hear to help you get back on your feet? What song don't you want to hear? Call 866-901-ADAM. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. You're down. Guy's choking the life out of you. Worst thing ever. One gnat has popped out of your trunks.
Oh. Hard for me to even imagine.
You're tired.
Feeling the canvas.
Entire family. I actually had my sheets made out of canvas so I could get used to being on the canvas. I fall asleep on the canvas so often I decided, I'll just get a pillow made out of canvas. It'd be awesome.
After the Brady fight, and I felt like such an idiot for even fighting Greg Brady on TV, but still once it was over, your adrenaline's running, and he had all these cuts and was bleeding all over his back, and this reporter goes, were the ropes edgy or was the canvas real rough? Why is his back bleeding like that? Was from the canvas? And I screamed at this poor woman. How would I know what the canvas feels like?
That's right. Ask my shoes. And the only part of me that's ever touched a canvas.
I went crazy on this poor lady.
Let's see. So anywho, you're on the canvas, you're being choked down, you've popped a nad through your trunks, and it's either time to go to sleep or it's time to get up and fight your way back to victory. What is the worst song you can hear? What's the best? Let's start with a good one. This would get me going. This is the more famous of the Stallone brothers. This is Frank Stallone. Yeah, if this was pumping through the arena. This is the end. I feel like this is one of those 80s songs where they took the two Casios and spread them 9 feet apart and had the one guy with the headband trying to play them both simultaneously. You put me down and I think this is from Staying Alive, the movie where Travolta became a professional dancer.
Yeah, yeah. It's Broadway dancer.
Jamie Lee Curtis. I like it.
I like it. The only problem for me, though, is I recently got asked to fight this guy for charity, and Frank ain't fooling.
Oh, Frank Stallone? No. Yeah. No, Frank ain't fooling. He likes to box. All right.
And he doesn't mind bleeding a lot. A lot of people don't like bleeding. He doesn't seem to care much.
Far from over, Frank Stallone. There's a name that'll get me off the mat, but
yeah,
this next song comes up, and I figure I just called an evening.
My name is Luca.
I'd be like,
I live on the second
floor. You know, I gotta go get pee by my dad later.
You know, so I get out of this chokehold and get up to my feet. Yes, for what? To get punched in the head again?
By someone who loves me?
Get another crescent kick to the bottom of the chin or a roundhouse or on the inside of my thigh? You know what? I'm just gonna take a nap here on the canvas. Besides, I like this song. I like to listen to the rest of it. Yeah, I've been officially choked out. The guy with the huge forearms and the gi that's scarier than both of us has just jumped in between us and started yelling.
His black belt is now, like, almost gray again from years of tying it.
Yes, and he's bald, but don't call him old or fat. Beat the crap out of you. I'm telling you, every time, scariest guy in the mixed martial arts ring is the referee. It's never the two guys that are fighting. Because the referee guy is not only a black belt 10 times over, but he's got part of your scariest dad's friends in him. You know what I mean? Remember when you were a kid and there was that other kid that had the really scary dad?
Yeah.
That's what these guys are. Fight! Then watch Karate Kid. By far the scariest guy at the All Valley Karate Tournament is that referee.
Right.
Okay. I'm getting off the mat again.
Don't do it. You got it, buddy.
All right. Here's another good song to stay down to. A little band called Air Supply.
But they fly in a hot air balloon, don't they?
Here I am.
They get up all the time.
Playing with those memories again.
Air Supply has two hits called Here I Am. There's Here I Am, the one that you love.
Yeah, I like that.
I do too, but I like the lesser known Here I Am getting choked out on the mat.
Yeah, one of my favorites too.
We're going to hear this entire song, by the way, so people settle in.
So when you're losing your air supply because you're being choked out, you want to hear Air Supply.
Good one.
Yeah, you would bet one on Air Supply if you're getting choked out very nicely.
Apparently, it feels kind of okay to get choked out. I've never done it.
No, I'll tell you why. There's several, a real choke out hold is your arm, your forearms under the throat, and your hands behind their head, and you're gripping with the other. So you're pushing their head forward while pulling back on their neck. So if you don't crush the wind and you just go out because of no air, you'll also got muscles in your neck that will hurt for days. Not that I know. Not that there are any cops there.
Oh, baby, those memories come crashing through. Jesus Christ, I haven't heard this song since I was in the ninth grade.
I don't like it.
The memories are crashing through to you.
All right. It's a horrible song to get off the mat to. But an even worse song
to attempt to get off the mat to.
This is for all the lonely people.
America.
Thinking that life.
Same guys who went through the desert on the horse with no name.
Oh, yeah.
Don't give up.
It says don't give up, but it doesn't say it musically.
Yeah. Gonna ride the highway in the sky. By the way, every third song, here's how songs went in the 70s. Either songs about gypsy Cajun witchy women. You wrote a song about that.
Gotta get away from
or
that.
You could write a rambling song. Or you could write a song that just said highway in the sky somewhere in there. There's something about riding in that highway in the sky. I don't know. Oh, this one, too. On my way home. Heading home. Right. Gotta go home. Gotta get home to you, or gotta go to my home to get away from you. Either way, I'm heading home.
Because you were out rambling.
I was out rambling. I hooked up with a gypsy Cajun queen from New Orleans. Right. Never from Sacramento or the Bay Area.
No.
It's always not from Glendale or Burbank.
Because mine was from Memphis, I knew.
Nope. Hooked up with a Cajun queen from Santa Ana. It's a Cajun queen from New Orleans. So I go out rambling.
Yeah.
I hook up with a gypsy devil woman Cajun queen
witchy woman from
New Orleans, but I can't stay. Got to ramble.
You
got to get back to the highway in the sky. Got to get home.
Now, see, I forget what kind of woman she was, but didn't I meet her in Memphis? I met a woman in Memphis. She tried to take me upstairs for a ride. She had to throw me right across her shoulder. She blew my nose, and then she blew my mind.
You're thinking Leonard Skinner, right?
Yeah.
They're all
Honky
there.
Honky Tonk Woman?
Oh, no, you're thinking Stones. Stones, yes.
Yep, they're all there.
There we go. Yeah. Wow, Bald Brian.
Just the man.
And the listeners have some good ones.
I know.
I'm impressed with Kurt on line 3. Can't get to it yet. We got to load those up. All right, so all the listeners have chimed in. They have some good ones. We'll go ahead and load those up. T will have her good and then her oh so bad. I have my good and my number one. I got some good ones. Even I got a surprise one coming up. I got one sung by a celebrity. A song that is sung by a celebrity and kind of a good song, I'm scared to say, but a horrible song to get off the mat.
But I got
to
go different kind of celebrity because if you have a hit song, you are, in fact, a celebrity because you sang it.
Right.
So this like somebody
you will
that wouldn't expect
be
that.
Very surprised to find out who this celebrity is and that they had a hit song that you didn't know about. All right, we'll take a break. UFC, get off the mat. We'll do the rest of Music Monday next.
Back to Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show. So you're knocked to the floor in the UFC fight. What's the worst possible song that could play? Back to Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, normally I'm horribly disappointed by your offerings, but this morning I'm excited.
Really?
We have our number one song and our good and our bad. Dave from Torrance.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Good, Dave. What do you have for me?
Nice to talk to you again. The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down by the band.
The band, sure.
Love that song.
Yeah, she can't get off the mat with this.
But if you had enough blow in you.
It's a song about, you know, torching the farm and,
in the winter of 65, we were hungry,
just barely alive.
By May the 10th, Richmond had fell, it's a time.
He's kind of rambling.
Yeah, I could fall asleep to this.
It's a different version again.
Yeah, we always get weird versions. Yeah. Oh, there's probably 1,000 versions of this song. They have the band, they have, I don't know who's Joni Baez probably sung this song. Ooh. Hey, Dave? Well, Dave,
shot himself.
A solar flare. Choked himself out while he was driving. All right, can we go to, line 3 and speak to Kurt? Kurt?
How you doing, Adam?
Good, Kurt. What do you have?
Cups and Cakes by Spinal Tap.
I love anything by that band.
Me too, but I don't know that I get it right away. There you go.
It
I think this was some of their earlier work where they're kind of ripping off Sgt. Pepper's.
Yeah, this was part of the British invasion, I believe.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, what good things mother makes. You've got a take two, won't you take it with me? What a gay time it will be. Cups and cakes.
See, when Sgt. Pepper's came out, every single rock band just got themselves uniforms for, like, red coats and Minutemen and stuff. Everyone just went with the three-cornered hat and all that kind of stuff. And I don't care if the band was from Indiana.
Right.
They wrote a song called Crumpets
and Crumbles,
and they just did this whole thing, and they all cashed in.
Although I must admit, I hated the hats but loved the coats. Mm-hmm. Especially the short military ones, not the long ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they're black with silver buckles. I think those look really cool.
Yeah.
Of course, you got to be going to the right club when you're almost 50 and wearing that coat, but I do.
The camouflage thing came around, somewhere around World War I. Hold on, you got to listen to the end. Hey, Kurt.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Nice choice, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Nice talking to you guys.
I believe that may have been during the scene where they all gathered around the radio and then the DJ said, file that under Where Are They Now? And they're right in the middle of a tour. Just the whole uniform thing, the fact that it took armies several hundred thousand years to stop wearing bright red on the battlefield.
Yeah.
I know it was a different time and there were things like honor involved, but you'd think that camouflage would have come into play a little bit earlier than 80 years ago, considering how long people have been going at it. You know what I mean? I feel like the very first fight I ever had, like as a nation, I'd be like, okay, are we going to be in the jungle? Are we going to be on the beach? Are we going to be in the desert? Whatever it is, are there going to be a lot of rocks? Because I'm going to dress like a rock. I'm going to dress like whatever it is.
You know, I think the perfect example of that is people that were known as the red coats. If you see guys coming and they're wearing red coats, you should probably shoot them. Now, if they're dressed as bushes, maybe let them sneak up by. But if they're in a red coat, shoot them.
It's one of those things that took a long time for armies to really get with.
It wasn't gentlemanly.
All right, T.
Yep.
What do you have? Give us a good one first.
Well, if I'm on the mat, seeing as I have no boxing experience, I'm uncoordinated, I'm weak, and I don't have hand-eye.
If you're on the mat, I'm winning.
And also, my only athletic experience is ballet. Mm-hmm. I might need some help from a boss.
Evander Holyfield to ballet.
He was one of nine children, and his mother died when he was very young. He always taught us to reverence and respect the character of God. He said, if you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, God would supply every one of your needs. How many believe that tonight? Clap your hands, we're gonna sing this little country song.
Is this Clay Aiken?
Contemporary gospel. I believe.
Mm. Mm. It's all of a sudden you're feeling the Lord.
Yeah.
Sneaking your elbow.
I know. I know it's about Jesus, but it doesn't matter. I still feel it.
Yeah, you're feeling the power. Mm-hmm. You believe.
Believe. New Life Community Choir.
I like that.
You know, they have an expression fighting called, if you've got a heart, you can beat a better fighter. And this is one of those songs, man. I believe, you know, if you believe enough, you can beat the better fighter. Not that often, but you can do it.
Good stuff, T.
Yeah.
Danny, what do you got in the good department?
Mine's not nearly as exciting, but I think it would really give you my emotional state. Well,
Tom Petty for you.
Here's the line over here. I'll stand my ground. I won't back down no matter what. If he added the words no matter what to this, that's the way I usually go.
On the nose, but again, effective.
Yeah.
I think that on the nose thing is a compliment every time.
It's not bad.
That's how you know you're right at charades.
I will, mine is another more eclectic selection.
As well, it should be.
But effective. Hold on there, Bald Brian. So you're on the mat. you're being choked out. Pretend it's a movie. Being choked out, and we see. I'm looking at my girlfriend, not my wife. I brought my girlfriend to the fight.
Right.
So I'm looking at her. My head's on the canvas, and blood's coming out of my ears, and I'm looking at her. And then we see her get out of focus, and then we see, from my POV,
It
goes black, and then we go outside, and we see, we're looking back, and we see my eyes close, and it looks like I'm choked out. The ref's moving in slow motion. He's about ready to stop the fight, and then we hear this. Wow. Now my eyes pop open. Now you hear the Asian flute.
Are you now, even though this guy's white, black, whatever, are you now remembering a really bad moment in Vietnam that it just came back to you?
He can't be Asian, otherwise the Asian flute would work for him.
Right.
Oh, right. Of course, he'd beat you with it.
It'll be his.
Right,
okay. I'll be beaten with my own flute.
Yeah, would you hate that?
Best that he'd be a white guy.
Way worse than being hung by your own petard.
Yes.
Similar.
So you hear the Asian flute and the eyes pop very open, nice. And that's how you know. There's still hope. I've not given up. But there's a mystical quality to
it. Not only is there hope, it's almost a gimme. Have you ever seen anybody lose to the flute?
No.
When the flute brings them back, they don't lose the flute.
And the thing that's funny about the Asian flute, what the hell's going on with that Asian flute? The guy.
You don't have a guy that can actually play it. He can just beat you with it.
You'll see the look. You'll also see the look of the trainer. Of the guy who's choking me out. He has a worried look, too. He hears the Asian flute as well. All right, T. Now give us a bad one.
Okay, well, if the flute is energizing, the harp, not so much. Listen for the birds. Might take about 4 or 5 minutes for them to come in. There they go.
There they are.
On the mat, we're not going anywhere. Yeah, the little birds. Brian was making the sound of little birds floating around your head like when Bugs Bunny gets
something. Oh, no, that's in the song.
It is?
Yeah, that's why I chose it.
No, I mean that you see when somebody takes one to the head.
Right.
Funny, too.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, if I was choking the guy out, I would fall asleep to this. Wow, this is good stuff. Could get this on a loop, bring it to the house.
The classical harp stylings of Patricia Sparrow.
I recognize the harp plucking.
Sorry.
I know the pluck. Stress. Danny.
Yes, sir.
What do you got in the bad department?
Well, it's kind of weird because this is a double entendre. You could take it either way, but I'm gonna go with the bad way. This is my filter.
That's nice shot.
Now, the way you could consider it good is if you're still on your feet and looking at the guy going, hey, man, nice shot, then you're a tough guy. But as after you're hitting the dirt, you're thinking, geez, hey, man, nice shot. That's
right.
It. You're down. If your last thought before you hit the canvas is, hey, man, nice shot, I'll be staying here the rest of the evening.
Yeah. But then this would kick in and I'd want to do something.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
This kicks in and you want to do something and you can't. A nice shot's shot.
All right.
You just have an epileptic fit, try and crawl to the ground like Rocky did, get to the second rope, fall back down.
All right.
You have all the hearts you want. Once you get tagged, and you're really tagged, hey, man, I got to tell you, nice shot, dude. You're a great opponent to lose to because I'm going to the hospital.
Well, I promised you guys a song from a celebrity.
Right.
A surprise
you
song from a celebrity from a movie. From 07, I don't know why I saw this movie, but I did, and it wasn't that bad. It was kind of cute, and this was a song in it. See if you can recognize the celebrity.
Rick Astley.
No, Boner Boy. I never thought that I could be so satisfied. It's a send-up of an 80s song, but it's almost kind of
good. Oh, I know. Hugh Grant.
Good. Yes.
I saw this movie.
You know what?
Music and lyrics, baby. I don't miss a romantic comedy with Hugh Grant.
No kidding. Now you got to just listen to this whole song.
This is a parody?
Yeah. It's
what?
I'm just 80s fan.
Basically, somebody who used to be like in Wham.
I forget what it was. We had a parody of like a specific song. Oh, One More Kick in the Balls instead of One More Brick in the Wall. Mm-hmm. I said, I can't use a blatant parody, One More Kick in the Balls, but a parody of a genre, fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know why this this song popped into my head.
This is good.
I don't know why like half the stuff pops in your head, man. I just like watching it.
Did you see this movie?
I only saw it three times. It was on cable.
You're gay for saying that.
It was a cute movie.
It was cute.
Yeah, he's dreamy, that Hugh Grant.
I hate gay people.
All right, let's listen to just another 8 to 12 minutes. Come on. You couldn't get off the mat to this. You're busy snapping your fingers. Your golden silver is another good 80s refrain. All right, that's enough. Here's how bad a musical genre of the 80s was. When they spoof it, the songs that they use to spoof it are usually better than the actual songs.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, T, you're number one in the bad department.
Okay, this is actually also an actor who you know more from his television work, but he started as a Broadway star. Here is a song from the original cast recording of 42nd Street.
Good night, baby.
I like the song.
You recognize the singer?
No. You want to know why?
Why?
Not gay.
What about the Hugh Grant thing?
Ooh.
Wow. Damn. I was stung just a little bit. You should have moved like a butterfly and stung like a bee or something, dude.
Get you one day.
This is Jerry Orbach from Law & Order.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He was in a bunch of musicals. Wow. Annie Get Your Gun, Guys and Dolls, but Lullaby of Broadway seems like a bad song to get up to.
Well, I was over at Camacho's yesterday, and this is hitting right to the heart of our demographic.
Dude, I bled all over the place at Camacho's yesterday. We had a good time. We played rough. Remember all those Hartleys out front and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And all those guys in the leather jackets and the vests in the clubs? We played rough. We had a good time.
I got out of there before the rough trade began.
Oh,
Thank you.
It was so fun. It was so fun.
Before I comment on that, Daniel, do you have your number one in the bad department?
I do indeed, and hopefully you won't need explanation, but if it does, I'll be happy to give it to you. I think you wouldn't want to hear this.
Comfortably numb. Yeah. I love this song.
I have become comfortably numb. You don't even have the desire to get up. You're comfortable. You're knocked out. You're numb. It doesn't hurt. Why the hell get up? I'm cozy.
Also from the wall, Goodbye Cruel World.
Very nice. But this is a defeated man in a fight.
Yeah.
I've become comfortably numb.
Although that's the state that I most strive for.
Comfortably numb?
Yeah.
Half a Vicodin.
I can hook you up on that.
Merlot.
Jameson's, yeah. Yeah, good song.
If you just get rid of that tall drink of water, you call a boyfriend, I can set you up, Darwin.
I have my number one song, which is also a, what you call, classic rock band as well. What a shocker, going back to the late 60s.
Before you slip into unconsciousness.
Nice.
Right there at the top.
Like to have another.
This part would wake me up, though. Hold on. What are you going to do with me when I'm passed out?
Flashing.
This crystal ship is coming for you.
Is this the Doors?
Oh, yes.
See, I think I'd almost be able to get up long enough to smack Amy for playing this song one more time.
The other theme we forgot about from the 60s and 70s, there was the Rambling theme, the Gypsy, Cajun Queen, Devil Woman theme. There was also the Nautical theme.
Yeah.
A lot of crystal ships and Ride, Captain Ride, and a lot of Beach Boys with the sleuth John B., and a lot of weird nautical songs.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a band now? It's like the Foo Fighters or some band that's selling records now, and they go, hey, we need to write a song about a boat.
Well, sometimes I think maybe that there are. Maybe the band has something in common, like two of them sail.
And right.
Like Duran Duran, or both, a couple of members of Duran Duran are very good skippers.
Right.
Which brings me to a point I thought about yesterday. Why have we done nothing on unicycles?
Do you ride a unicycle?
Yeah.
Oh,
well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, bring it in.
I think we should have a race down Wilshire.
All right. Oh, take you up on your unicycle challenge?
You and your long ass legs, I'll still beat you.
Really?
Yeah.
Bring a unicycle in.
Hey.
Cool. How do you ride it with those boots?
Actually, they're perfect.
Oh, they hook on the
pedals right there.
Hmm.
There are very few. There are very few exercises that 3-inch heels are better for. You know those workout bands that you're supposed to stand on?
Right.
You hook those bitches inside the heel and the four-step, they aren't going anywhere. Coming up and slapping you in the mouth, they're wedged. Good heels are good for some stuff.
We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, hey, Bald Brian.
Hey.
That clip from CNN, I think I gave it to you last week. Got the 14-year-old with the arsenal. Well, there's a one 14-year-old who went to the school,
yep,
shot it up, and then there's another one where the kid was homeschooled and the parents, well, not the parents, I don't know, the cops, I don't know who found an arsenal in the kid's bedroom, but he was going to do another Columbine-type shooting.
Oh, yeah. We got them both.
We got them both. Well, let's hear the one with the Columbine-style shooting, if you have that one.
Wait, this is the right one.
All right. Either
one. A 14-year-old boy is to appear in juvenile court today in Philadelphia to face charges of plotting a Columbine-style attack at a high school in Plymouth Township, Pennsylvania. Police showed off the weapons arsenal found in the teen's bedroom. Some 30 air-powered BB guns, swords, knives, and hand grenades, one of them apparently active. A video about Columbine and a 9mm semi-automatic assault rifle that authorities say his mother bought for him at a gun show.
Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah. First question is, when you do a Columbine-type shooting, but you're homeschooled, who gets it? The Sparklets man and the cat?
Sure. FedEx guy? Yeah.
FedEx guy's on my list. I got a Jehovah's Witness. Who's going down? I got my my auntie, Cheryl. She's in from Indiana. She's staying with us.
She gave you the stink eye and bullied you?
Who are you going after? The cable guy? I mean, do you have to just sit and wait around for people to enter your living room? And what school do you have a beef with when you're being homeschooled?
I'm sorry. I think we got a mom's making a cake, got a shooter. That's all there is to it.
So
that's on a shingle, young mom. I'm sorry, cafeteria lady. Bang.
That's number one. And but number two, there's this fresh on the heels of the 14-year-old who went into a school in Cleveland and shot up everyone in their school. And as I've said many times, when you have a dog and you leave the gate open and the dog runs down the street and mauls some toddler, who gets in trouble? You or the dog? Well, answer, you both do.
Yeah.
The dog gets put down, and then you get punished, sued, whatever. And as I said before, too, Charles Manson on death row never left the ranch.
Yep.
Never left the trailer. He just sat in there while his minions went out and did his bidding for him, but he didn't pull a knife on Sharon Stone or Sharon Shubat.
Almost everybody's pulled
that
a knife.
That would have been awesome.
Well, almost everybody's pulled something out of a scabbard and given it to Sharon Stone.
On Sharon Tate. He didn't do anything. Point is he told them to do it, or he let it happen, or both, and now he's on death row.
We'll be back.
What about the parents? What about the parents of the 14-year-old or both 14-year-olds? They're minors, right? As long when you're a minor, you're under the care of your parents. How come the parents never get into trouble?
How should I know?
How come we never look into it? The one who shot up the school in Cleveland, oh, there's an older brother, too, and he's got a warrant as well, and he was doing some shooting from his front porch. When are we going to punish the parents? But here's what I want you to call in on. What do we do with them? Do they go to jail? Do we sterilize them? Do we fine them? Do we sue them? What do we do with them? 866-901-ADAM. I have a plan, and I'll tell you about it next.
One year ago, on a night just like tonight,
people were S-faced about an hour ago.
There was a man committing a sex act on a woman in fishnet stockings.
Don't electrocute her!
Charlotte is topless.
Where's my phone, you fat ass?
Ray, look, is officially turned into Sodom and Gomorrah here.
October 25th at the Playboy Mansion, the return of Blotto in the Grotto. And this time,
let's take a drive, baby.
We're bringing Bonaducci.
Hey, you bitch, I'm having a good old time.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Quickly, before we get to the next topic, go to AdamCarolla.com and vote on the guys with the bucket heads.
Yeah.
The big old heads will declare the winner. Well, put him in, throw him in the hopper.
He grew into it, but when he was born, he looked
like there was something seriously wrong with him. We all just called him Buckethead for a year.
Look at the size of that boy's head.
Also, you can go there and submit your photos, ladies, with the big noses. Again, we're looking for people to really round out the photographs. I want the guy with the huge head to stand next to me. The chick with the big beak will be next to Teresa. And the short red-haired guy will be next to Danny. And then we'll all look relatively good. All right. Now, what was I talking about? That's right. The biggest problem that faces this country, which is kids. Bad parents, too many of them. I played you the clip before we left. The kid was homeschooled. He had an arsenal. And then he had a 9mm semi-automatic rifle that his mom got him. He was 14. Whose fault is it? Why do we, in every other phase, I mean, look, if you own a McDonald's and someone dumps coffee on their lap, you could be in Bermuda. You will get your ass sued. Right. Not the person that served them the hot coffee, you. Why? It's your McDonald's.
Right.
Well, it's your kid, and your kid's out shooting other kids. But yet, we don't do anything. And the other part of it is we don't give these folks incentive not to have kids, because we don't want to get involved with that, because then we're playing God.
So that's your seriously slippery slope right there. But once they start shooting people, and you're the parenting as you believe in your heart of heart that caused it, then I think start the sterilizing spray immediately.
Yeah, well, nature or nurture, whatever it is, your kid's doing the shooting, and you become the nest that these vermin climb out of. Now, I have a clip. This is the clip after the one kid shot up the school in Cleveland and shot up like 7 or 8 people. This is his brother, and he has a sister as well and possibly other brothers. This is his slightly older brother, and this is the story that happened a couple days later.
And an arrest now of the brother of an Ohio teenager who went on a shooting rampage at his school. 19-year-old Stephen Kuhn was picked up for violating his parole by having a weapon in his possession. Now, police still don't know where 14-year-old Asa Kuhn got the two guns that he used in Wednesday's shooting at the Success Tech Academy High School in Cleveland. Kuhn shot and wounded 2 students and 2 teachers before fatally shooting himself.
Right. Now, should this mom be allowed to have more kids? You have one kid that shot up a school. You have another kid that's on parole and he's 19 years old and he just got picked up again. God knows these are just the ones we're hearing about. Shouldn't we just put something in her and break it off? Do you know what I'm saying?
My opinion is yes. Of course my opinion is yes. If you've, like, you can have a black sheep of the family, and you cannot be sterilized for that. My poor mom, there's a church choir director and a fine school teacher at a wonderful school.
Why don't you call me Betty?
Thanks, mm-hmm. Mom. There's a wonderful director who works for Weller Grossman. There's my brother in Mexico building homes. And then there's me.
Yeah.
You're going to sterilize my mom over me? That's not fair. But if you have 4 of them and they're all me, then you should be sterilized.
Well, you pay your taxes and you haven't shot up any schools. The week is young, but you have not shot up any schools yet.
But, you know, you said that they have a sister.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the trouble I've ever been in, the only person to ever actually shoot me was a girl. They pull the trigger just like guys.
You want to know, it's easier. Here's how you know we can't do anything about it. Tex Watson, the guy who did all the killing or the main killing of the Manson. And again, we brought up Manson and we said, well, Manson got the death penalty.
Yep.
Manson got the death penalty. And then like 6 months later, we abolished the death penalty in California. And isn't it great that we get to clothe and house and feed Manson for the next, it's been 30-something years. All you folks that are against the death penalty, you get to see Charlie Manson give the interview to Geraldo every other year. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome that he gets to sell T-shirts and books and people write songs about him? Isn't it awesome? Mission accomplished, pussies. You pussies. The guy's an animal. You put him down just like you put an animal down. And again, people go, I don't want to live in a society where we don't kill Charles Manson. How about that, puss?
How about we don't live in a society like that at all? You just give the job to a guy who wants it. You take one of those Charles Manson type people who is the scourge of society, and instead of housing him and feeding him, you give him a job. You now get to do what you really like. you get to kill these people. So the next time they say, hey, Charlie Manson, I don't want to live in a society that kills people, you say, well, you don't really. This isn't really sanctioned. This guy's a murderer, and now he's just going to murder Charlie Manson. We don't really have the death penalty. We just have one guy that gets to get away with murder for a while.
He got the death penalty, and then they got rid of it like a year later. Now there he sits eating all our food and breathing our air. But the point is Manson never left his trailer on Spahn Ranch, and he got the death penalty. Right. Why can't the mother who homeschooled the 14-year-old with the arsenal, and I'm guessing not a palatial estate.
Yes.
I'm guessing it was 1,100 square feet of filth. Kid, and bought the kid a 9mm. When's mama coming up on charges? And what about the other mama that gave birth to the other criminals? And here's how you know we can't do an effing thing about this problem. Because speaking and coming back to Manson and his family, Tex Watkins says, or Watson here, married in prison.
And is also an ordained minister, I believe.
And had four children. Yeah. He's had four kids inside the joint. So, the guy that took the other renegade hippie nut jobs up to the hills, tied up a bunch of innocent young people and stabbed them multiple times, and then went to another house.
And wrote in their blood, slogans in their own blood, in the victim's blood on the walls. Let's not forget that.
That's right. That
didn't
guy
just kill a 9-month pregnant woman. They wrote in her blood.
Yeah, and they killed a bunch of other people, and then they went to another house and they stabbed the life out of a bunch of other people.
Who owned a grocery store?
He sired four kids from the joint. Really, we couldn't have had him put down. We need his DNA running around out there with no dad. And we have his killer DNA, his stabbing DNA, meets worse DNA, nutty broad, who thought it'd be a good idea to lay down with the guy who killed Sharon Tate.
And there's always one, because you asked me during the commercial about Ted Bundy. You said you thought you recalled him having had a child in jail. He did. Ted Bundy met a woman who he called as a character witness. He must have met her before he was in the joint. And she was convinced of his innocence. She gave birth to his child, a little girl, and then she decided he was guilty and they got divorced.
Right. But the point is Ted Bundy, who
was a charmer and real bright,
and killed girls with pliers.
Yeah.
Did that kind of stuff that we see on Hostel and other things like that. He and was the real deal.
You know what else he
did? And he didn't kill six people. He killed
something like 100.
We don't know how many people he killed, but he tortured them, and he didn't do the junky prostitutes either. He did the 13-year-old seventh graders who were heading back from school to their house, knocked them over on their bicycle and took them to the woods and tortured them. He gets to have a kid.
Right.
He gets laid in prison. Does anyone else think something's wrong with that? And again, if we can't stop Ted from getting it on in the joint, then what are we going to do about these people? Although some good did come of this whole thing, because when they interviewed one of the neighborhood kids about the guy who shot up the school in Cleveland, we got this clip out of it.
Why did he do this?
I don't know. I ain't justifying nothing. I ain't saying he did the right thing. But I'm saying he got pushed for a long time and asking people to help, and nobody helped. You know?
Who did he ask for help?
I don't know. I'm sitting here. I ain't saying that. I'm just saying I know him as a person.
What about the guns, Joe? Do you know where he got the guns?
That's what I just said to him. I would like to know where the hell them guns come from, because that boy should have never had access to any.
Well, there you go. We got that.
We got that out of the deal. Andrea?
Yeah.
What should we do about these adults?
Well, thanks to organizations like the ACLU, it's going to be a long time before we make parents responsible. But
yes, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous the type of freedom and liberty that some of these people are deserved. But they all need to be tried as adults.
That's
adults,
one of the things for sure.
Because there is absolutely no incentive for a kid to not, you know, run with his instincts.
All right, so we try the kid as an adult, and how about we try the adults as well? And look, there's a lovely message to send to society. Hey, if you buy your kid a 9mm assault rifle when he's 14 and he decides it's a good idea to use it in society, then you're going to jail.
Right.
Don't you think that would send a nice message to all the other crappy parents out there?
We have to send some kind of a message because it's happening more and more. Something's got to happen.
When I was growing up, there was there's always been serious gang wars, but this was the most deadly time when I was first growing up out here. I'm going around 13, and it was standard procedure that a kid under 12 was the hitman, and he would ride by on a 10-speed. Let go with both hands off the steering wheel or the handles, mm-hmm. pull out his two guns, just blow some guy's brains out, stick the guns back and keep riding off. And the guy, the leader of the gang, would go, "Don't worry, dude, you're under 12. He can't do anything to you."
Mm.
That's it. Jail, burn the kid.
I was trying to find a problem for this serious social ill that faces and vexes our society. So I called to my listeners, and here's what we have. Throw them in a volcano.
Nice.
Battle Royale.
Nice.
Winter Dates New York. That's the Flavor of Love character.
Take them out back and shoot them. Place them all on a deserted island. Here's $10. Never call the show again.
Mm, but John has a son that was arrested on 5 terrorist counts.
I'm curious.
I know how that goes. Teddy, clear that line. Let me talk to John on line 8. John?
Hi, Adam.
What happened?
Well, my kid was bullied continuously, and finally he blew his stack and mentioned that, well, my parents have a gun, and then a short time later, he got kicked in the groin. And then the next thing you know, he's saying, well, I'll kill you. And mm-hmm. 5 kids heard this.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, the sheriff's there arresting him. We had 5 counts, 422 terrorist threats at school.
Right.
Pinning against us.
Yeah, this is the other side of this coin, which is we have this hyper-vigilant, super-sensitive, retarded, you know, some kid says, oh, man, I wish the school would burn down after he gets a bad report card, and we have to call in the director from the CIA to come do something about it. We have that side, and then we also have the side where the moms keep crapping out the vermin and we can't stop them from doing it. It's like we overreact in some departments and we do nothing in others.
I've actually been called to Isabella's school. Once over her bringing a weapon to school.
What was it?
Scissors. They were in plastic. She was allowed to plastic scissors. We didn't have any, so I just handed her a pair of scissors. Didn't even think about it.
Danny handed her the scissors and yelled, run!
No, but I said, remember that little bitch you hate? Nothing. No, I'm not saying
Adam.
Yes.
The point I want to make to anybody that's listening in the state of California, bullying at school is against the law. You can get online.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go down the list. I don't have it right handy, but it is against the law.
That's called stooley.org. You just go in there and rat out your friend.
John, I'm curious, why do you think your son was bullied at school?
He has a very...
Hold on. His dad sounds like the neighbor from Beavis and Butthead.
I think that's
why he's getting it so bad.
It might have been part of it.
Hey, John.
Huh?
Why did your son getting bullied?
Because he's has a visual impairment. He's short and he's sort of dumpy, kept to himself. And the DA said that he fits the criteria. Now, there's all kinds of...
The criteria for the kind of guy that would blow up the school?
Yeah.
Bad times.
And believe it or not, you know, he would come home from school and I would ask him, how you doing today? And he would ask me, okay. But then I find out that he got, 15 trash cans thrown at his head while he was in the bathroom, getting in fights. And then he would act up in school, he would tell the teacher to, some sort of profanity. And then,
Where's his mom?
Here, me and my wife have been married for 25 years.
Really?
Yeah, we've got 2 boys.
Mm.
The oldest one had played a part in this, too. The oldest boy, there's so much civil rivalry going on that at school, my oldest boy wouldn't associate with my youngest boy. And then the other kids in the bully group would see this. So now that trashes him.
John.
Huh?
Martial arts.
Yeah, I know.
Real martial arts.
Yeah.
Me and my son are so close now. We're lifting weights.
Oh, that's nice.
We got to go through all this stuff. Now, he was facing 15 years just for saying, I'll kill you.
Yeah,
and
I know. We're so freaked
everyone
out.
Everyone said that in high school to people or juniors.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, I must have said,
I'll kill you, dude.
I said it 15 times last night.
That's right.
Only 2 people are actually dead.
Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do with my young son, Sonny. I don't want him to get bullied.
No.
Also, I don't want to put the time in with the, you know, doing the martial arts with the kid and working out with the kid and hitting a heavy bag with the kid. That sounds like way too much. If I find out my son's being bullied, I'm just going to put him into one of those electric wheelchairs, the kind you operate with your mouth.
Yeah. Even though he's fully functional.
Yeah, because here's where you get bullied.
That's what I do at Disneyland.
There's extremes, right. If you're the captain of the football team, you're not going to get bullied because you may bully back. You may kick some ass.
Yeah.
And if you are missing a limb and have cerebral palsy and are using one of those, you know, walkers with the four, you're not going to get bullied. It's way too pathetic. I mean, if you're wearing a hockey helmet and dragging a leg, nobody bullies that guy. It's the in-between guys that get bullied. You know what I mean? Now, a lot of people say, well, I'll start working out.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. If you're getting bullied and you're in between, don't move up to the captain of the football team guy. That's tons and tons of hours in the dojo.
So much work, man.
Step down to the motorized wheelchair. I pull out in the custom van. We lower him out. I honk the horn so everyone can see. You know, Pops Corolla pulls right out there, honks the horn. Lowers. It takes 4 hours to get him out of the van. all the way through first, second period, homeroom, nutrition, still lowering the special van out there, lowering the thing. Then I put him into the thing.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay!
Maybe I shoot him up with some tranquilizer so he doesn't move his arms by mistake. And I'm just blowing to the straw and wheel his way up the thing. Who's going to mess with that kid? I mean, who's that bad?
Squeaky wheel gets you greasing.
That's right. They're out there, but here's the thing.
But they're the exception.
Show me the super horrible human being that's messing with my son who's blowing into the wheelchair, and I'll show you 10 guys who jump out to defend my son.
Yes, right. Absolutely right.
Opposed to my son just being a little bit overweight or having a little bit of a lisp when he speaks, no one defends that guy, right. And he gets his ass kicked. So, son, if you're listening, you either sweat on the mat or you bleed on the street. We're either going into the dojo now or I'm going to have you fitted for that wheelchair.
I like the wheelchair thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Because no lines hit the family parks. Always good. Always good. See, what I did is I just put the two tubes up Isabella's nose and a little tank on her hip because I didn't want to have to carry her. From the chair.
Well, did she ever get picked on? Did she ever come home from school and say, Daddy, these kids were teasing me, they were picking on me, and you wanted to kill the kids?
Yeah.
I would think that would be very, very difficult
She's
as a parent.
God.
For most occasions, I would come home, she would come home and I'd be a superhero, depending on how weird I was on TV the night before.
Right.
But sometimes I'd go too far, do something where she'd come home crying and say I was really embarrassed. And I'd just wait for the next, like, big assembly. And I'd bang open the door and I'd go, oh, sorry, wrong room. And then I'd go back home and that'd be the end of bothering my daughter.
Did that work?
Yeah, hell yes.
I'm going to do that with the wheelchair.
Well, you kind of have to have mauled some people on TV first.
Yeah, we'll work that
while saying I'll kill your whole family.
Let's take ourselves a little break. T,
yeah.
I can tell you didn't like the bad karma about the wheelchair talk.
I feel
a little
bad.
Freaked out.
I'm a little freaked out.
Well,
no,
you want Sonny to get bullied?
No, you're right.
You want
right.
Isabella to wait in line all day?
Put him in the chair. Just picturing you lowering his little chair for 4 hours in the street.
Yeah, but look.
Well, he pretends to be paralyzed.
As soon as he comes home, we're shooting hoops.
All right.
You know what I mean?
I know.
He's fine.
Yeah, when mine comes home, she's just shooting up. So, I mean, it's a family time.
Yeah. All right. Good news, everyone. One of our favorites, David Koechner. David Koechner has been in every good movie of the last 9 years. Anchorman.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Thank You for Smoking. Snakes on a Plane. 40-Year-Old Virgin. And now, the comeback's new movie. David Koechner in next.
The spoof on all sports films, The Comebacks.
Coach, can I have you here for a minute, sir? It's 35-0. It's halftime. The crowd's leaving. What is your plan of action?
I want to kiss you.
All right, sir. When you are in the locker room, how are you going to amp the guys up? What are you going to say to motivate them?
I'll tell them I met a really cute reporter.
And now from The Comebacks, David Koechner on The Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you as usual.
Hello.
David and I go way back. We both have twins. I think they're both in the same Mommy and Me class. And my wife keeps reminding me that the graduation is coming up.
Oh, well, I'm sure David Koechner, you'll be there.
Yes, with bells.
Yes.
You're going to really bring bells because the kids hate that.
With whips. P-shaped whips. Here's my thing with here's my policy. Maybe we could do a little united front on this one, David. I don't want to go to the graduation of anyone or anything that's not aware they're graduating.
Good point.
You know,
good
when point. They go, hey, the dog's graduating obedience school. Does the dog know it's the grad day? And if the answer is yes, I'm there, but I'm guessing it's no, and thus I'm not going. If my 14-month-old kid has no idea what's going on, then he and she ain't going to miss me. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I agree with you 100%.
They
you
should know.
Yeah, they have to know before you go. Otherwise, who cares? Because even if they look back on it, it's not a memory they share with you, so they don't really care.
Right.
Yeah. What's that framed thing?
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
When I graduated high school, my entire graduating class was me, Michael Jackson, and Christian Brando. Not one of us knows why we were in that room and they handed us paper. Or even why they would do such a thing. None of us also remember being there. You don't have to come to my graduation.
Wait, you were the only three?
Yeah.
How's that?
The school went from 7th to 12th, and there's only 80 students.
It was a bartending school.
Oh!
Michael sucked as a bartender.
I'm just saying.
All you could make is Jesus juice.
Jesus juice. Yeah, well, I'm guessing you grew up where?
Tipton, Missouri.
Oh, so same thing with you. You went to school with a bunch of celebrities.
Same deal, pretty much.
You over there in Missouri with all them teen and child stars,
yes.
Right? Well, what brought you here? How did the journey work, David Koechner?
Well, I grew up in a small town. I didn't know what to do, so I was always interested in politics, changing the world.
Sure.
So I was a poli-sci major in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time I got to my third year of poli-sci studies, I got into the representative aspects of making law and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the really dry and boring part of it. And I was like, I don't want to do this. And then I realized I'd never stepped foot on a golf course. It's like, there's no way I'm going to make senator.
Right.
I'm not backed by anyone.
Were you always funny? Did you always do voices and characters?
Right. Yeah.
Did people tell you you were funny?
I knew. You know, it's all, that's just control.
But did you, this happens to me, actually, just came up yesterday, and I imagine the same would be for you. Danny wouldn't be this way because he was making 10 times more than our parents were when he was 9. And Teresa's probably too young and from San Francisco. But if you're a little bit older and you're from a place where it doesn't really happen, the being funny part was not a way to make money. You will be the funniest guy who works on the loading dock.
Right.
There wasn't any, people would go, you're funny, but they wouldn't go, you're funny, now go make money off it. They'd go, you're funny, now go back to work.
Get back to work. Isn't he a lot of fun to have around?
Right.
Sometimes
when you're
annoying.
Digging a ditch, Koechner and Carolla are the two greatest comedy partners you can have.
And I was always a hard worker, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can tell by your broken shoulder.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, it's not a broken shoulder. This is what it is.
David's got his left arm in his
sling. Tell him what it is, bro.
Well, it's a grade 2 AC separation. The acromyoclavicular joint. I thought I was going to be able to say it. Acromyoclavicular. And I'm reading off a card.
Your collarbone?
It's the collarbone and the scapula that snapped. And I had a torn labrum. Sounds dirty, but it's not.
And how did this happen?
I fell off a ladder.
What did I say just a couple of weeks ago? Like half the men in America will eventually die through falling off a ladder. No woman has ever fallen off a ladder.
No.
Millions of men die. No, they don't do anything. My wife just sits and stares at a light bulb that's out on the ceiling and goes, it's not working.
Well, that's what she does.
What do we do? And I'm like, we have to change it. And she'll put her hand over her head and go, I can't reach it.
You guys are supposed to like being needed.
Really? Look, sweetie, if they take a banana and hang it at the top of a monkey cage, they can figure out how to stack the blocks up and get it. We can't do that.
So then you get up on that swivel desk chair.
I have spent quite a bit of time on the swivel desk chair. The problem is when you clean out the gutters, you can't get to that, so you have to get a regular ladder and set it up. But there's the things that are just out of reach, and you can stand on the dog or the swivel or a skateboard or a snowmobile, something just to get to that light bulb, and that's where you go down.
Yes.
Now, what did you do?
I was on a 6-foot step ladder trying to gain the height of a 9-foot overhang.
Mm-hmm.
An electrician was at my house working. And he did not need me up there, did not ask me to come up there.
Oh, dude.
In no way needed my supervision. So what did I do? I was going to go up there and talk to him.
Right.
Rather than wait till he came down.
Sure.
So he had used a step ladder because that was off his truck and he must use it all the time. I have a 15-foot ladder mm-hmm. that I can easily go get. But he used that. I'm going to go talk to him. I go up, stand atop the 6 foot of the step ladder.
The part that says, this is not a step.
Yes.
Right.
And so I've got 3 feet.
If you ever read the warning labels on ladders, there's now 500, yeah. and eventually you realize you're not supposed to even open it up.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like when you're done reading all the warning labels on the ladder, you realize you should have never taken it from Home Depot. Yes. You've already broken 6 laws.
You should only build stairs to wherever you need to go.
Right.
If I ever get married again, I'm having that tattooed across my back. This is not a step.
Good.
Yeah.
So you stepped on the part that is not a step.
Correct.
Then you're to the very top of the A-frame ladder. Well, that's hairy.
Yeah. I'm stable, though.
Right.
Then
you were. Yes.
I have this rafter tail mm-hmm. I'm going to use to get to the top of the overhang.
Sticking out the eaves of a house.
I put my foot on there, my right foot. The tennis shoe on it.
Yes.
It's still wet from the morning dew. I put my weight on that rafter, and then bam, I am on the ground.
And
directly on the shoulder.
Land on the concrete?
No, I half on the concrete, half on the grass.
Probably worse than going full concrete.
I don't know. I was just like, wow. And you know, people say, did you think a lot of stuff when you're falling? You know, it's the longest fall. No.
No. Nope.
It was one and down. I'm like, oh, I'm on the ground. Oh, I'm on the ground.
And did you realize something had broken at that point?
I realized it. I thought, what is the lesson? I hope there's a lesson in all this. Now, 2 feet away from where I fell was a fixed pool fence. So I could have easily
been impaled.
Ooh.
Then I would have had to say a few words at the Mommy and Me graduation. Yeah, I would have been like...
Of course, we all don't want to say anything, but there's a dad missing.
Keckner couldn't... This is tough because he was so funny and he made us all laugh, especially at the end when he fell off that ladder. He never stopped making us laugh.
He landed in a cream pie.
God bless David Keckner. He died doing what he loved most, which is nothing. He loved standing next to people who knew things with a checkbook. I gotta miss you, Dave. You know, every time I jump around in that giant room filled with the balls, I'm going to think about Keckner and his situation. Enough, honey, take over.
And my kids would eventually say, oh, you're the one that spoke at the Mommy and Me graduation about my dad. I heard it was really funny. I don't remember.
You did learn a lesson. You're lucky.
Oh, yeah.
You could have been skewered by that thing, but weren't.
Well, I knew halfway up that ladder, I was like, I should probably go get the other ladder. Yeah. But I didn't listen to myself.
Ah, so the real lesson is you should listen to the inner voice.
I didn't, but it had spoken. It had said, get the other ladder.
I'll tell you what I would like everyone to adopt. I've done this in my life, and it's a good way to go through life.
Angelina Jolie, if you're listening, he's not talking to you.
No, this is a theory or a way of living. When you stop and think about the worst case scenario, that means it's time to go fix it because... You have now willed it to happen. You see, if you're leaving the house and you're getting in your car and you're going to go pick your buddy up at the airport and it's just down the street. And as you get in your car, you go, oh, hell, I don't have my wallet. And then you think, oh, hell, I'm just going down to the airport and pick him up. And then you go, oh, hell, what if I get pulled over and I don't have my wallet? I could get arrested. And then you go, listen, the airport's 3 miles, so I won't speed. That now means you're going to get pulled over.
Yes.
You need to stop and go back into the house and get your wallet because you will that to happen. You've created that now. When you stop, you could go get on that A-frame ladder and climb on those rafter tails all day long. But the moment you stop and think, maybe I should get the extending 15-foot ladder, that now means you're going to fall off.
Yes.
I don't know how it works, but when you stop... Mm. That's the lesson.
Right.
Go back, get the ladder, go get the wallet.
The gift
somehow
of fear.
I wanted to fall.
Yeah,
I know that about people, that some people want to be punished and they don't know why. They feel that they deserve some sort of pain. I know a lot of girls like that that are nice girls but get treated badly, and I think it's because they think they deserve it.
Yeah, we can't even cover what you've brought up in this show.
Let me ask you this, David Keckner, Anchorman.
Yeah,
big breakout role for you is Chip or champ kind.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
The sports guy. Yeah. No, I loved it. But how much of that dialogue was riffed, vamped, made up?
A lot, because Adam McKay has a background in improvisation, as does Will, and they wrote it. And so they had written an incredibly funny script. But what would happen is, because they're so magnanimous, so giving, we would do the scenes as written, mm-hmm. and then they'd invite you to improvise, which is rare, because McKay trusts the process so much, and he's so brilliant that he goes, yeah, and then he'll know what to use and what doesn't. He can guide it one way or the other. And halfway through the filming, he came up with this phrase when it was time to improvise, and he just yelled from behind the cameras, "All right, let's go ahead and let the squirrel out of the bag."
First five times Koechner heard that, he pulled the scrotum out of his pants.
Right.
Eventually got on. He figured it out. And how much made the movie? When you watch Anchorman or any movie that you do, can you sit and watch and go, oh, that one wasn't in the script?
Some of them, but after a while there was so much that you go, wait a minute, which was, someone would be, half the line was scripted. And
right.
Half,
you'd forget.
I remember thinking earlier, like, wow, this is so funny. It's really hard to think of anything funnier.
Right.
Because it was so brilliant to begin with. And sometimes you'd get changed, and sometimes it'd be McKay improvising off screen, throwing mm-hmm. you lines anyway.
Right.
Or other people, like, you know, Carell giving you a line. It was so brilliant. It's hard to remember. I'd have to go through the script.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
So, Koechner, let's talk about the comebacks.
Let's do.
Sports spoof movie out this Friday.
A spoof of inspirational sports movies.
Rudy and whatnot.
Rudy... Remember the Titans?
So it'll do
Friday Night Lights, yes.
It'll be like, sir, one of those, what they did with, like, date movie or teen, whatever, movie. Scary yeah, movie, but just, for sports.
But just better.
Mm-hmm.
Those movies made a What's lot of money, bro.
That's not just marketing.
What are the movies we're going to do? We're going to spoof.
We're going to do Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do League of Your Own. Rookie, Rocky, all the R's.
Mm-hmm.
Stop playing baseball!
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
Or
Cutting Edge.
No, not Cutting Edge. Friday Night Lights. Gosh, there are 15 of them. Dodgeball's one of them.
And you're starring in this.
I am starring.
There's no second fiddle here for David.
No.
David Koechner.
Finally, top one. Top dog. They gave me the ball. Let's see if this guy can earn some yards.
Well, good times. This Friday, by the way.
The 19th.
The comebacks in theaters, and we'll be watching. David, I'll see you at the Mommy and Me graduation.
Yes.
Perhaps if I threw myself off a ladder, I could avoid it. And I'll be thinking the entire time, my wife will be proud and videotaping, and I'll be thinking, how much did that gown and cap set me back?
Oh,
no. You know what you got to join, buddy? You got to join Single Mommy and Me.
That might cause more problems at home than he could.
I ended up taking my kid to Gymboree one time when she was like 4, and I was so mad that I had to do it because it was in a mall, and you just couldn't be more gay. You're going around with your kid, and you're looking at Baby Gap, and then you're going to Gymboree was rocking with hot 24-year-old single moms who were desperate.
Good name for T's V, Gymboree.
It's always playtime.
Hey, T.
Yeah.
What's going on in the news, baby girl?
Adam, it's your lucky day because there's another story in the news about a taser.
Oh, good.
I thought we were going to get one of those.
Good. And Brian, you will pull up my favorite clip of all time.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. Ow.
All right, let's take a break. David, God bless you. See you at the graduation.
Always a pleasure.
The comebacks in theaters this Friday. Take a quick break. Right back.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
An interesting story right here this morning. Those new compact fluorescent light bulbs can shave 20% off your electric bill because they use a lot less energy. But this morning, a warning. There is a dark side to these bright lights because they contain highly toxic mercury.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, after you eat a baker's dozen of those light bulbs, you can get mercury poisoning. I got lightheaded after eating about 18 or 19 of those over at Kimmel's.
I heard you can get the same thing if you actually eat the planet Mercury.
You can get mercury poisoning as well.
You got to do that much of it.
Hey, Ken?
Hey, Adam.
What's going on, my brother?
Oh, I got a little bone to pick with you, man. I got pumped up. You're always ranting about, you know, sitting at Red Arrows.
Waiting to die.
Waiting to die. And there's this, like, 90-second one at Tujunga and Chandler.
Know it well.
You know it?
Yep.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Cool. So I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to you, you know, day after day. I go, he's right. I'm a chump. I'm sitting here. 90 seconds is going by. Nobody's going this way. Nobody's going that way.
Again, everybody, the signal is green. You're in the left turn lane, and you're not turning, and no cars are coming.
No, this is a right turn one.
Mm.
This is a right turn one. And
he's dead in the right.
Mm-hmm. Right turn. Okay.
And so I did it. I decided to go.
What? I don't know. What? I'm trying to picture the right turn arrow. Because normally it just says no right turn on red.
No, this is a right. This is an arrow, a red arrow.
All right. For a right turn.
For a right turn. And I'm sitting there, and I've timed this thing.
Right.
You know, it's like, anyway, it's almost 90 seconds long, I swear to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there day after day, and sometimes I'm there late at night. And I'm thinking about what you've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that day I decided to go. Unbeknownst to me, when you turn right there, there's this busway lane, you know, that orange lane, that orange
yes.
Line there
mm-hmm.
in North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
There's a red light above it. So as soon as I turn right, I go through a red light, and one of those flashes goes off and nails me. Not only do I make a right turn on the right, but I get this ticket in the mail for going through a red light after I turned right.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't get nailed for the red turn.
Did you not get busted also for that bus lane? Because that is I know the corner you're talking about exactly, and why I knew your problem, man. But there's also usually an extra fine because you've crossed an independent lane, meaning it's for only city vehicles only.
Well, fortunately, I didn't get that. I mean, I could have got the triple whammy.
You didn't get pulled over.
What?
You didn't get pulled over.
No,
it was the eye in the sky that got you.
Right. So I.
All right. Well, listen. As I've said to everyone. Rules were meant to be broken. I'm not a puss, and I'm not going to spend my life sitting at a signal where there's no traffic coming. I will turn. I will lower my shade, block out the red arrow. Then you just look at the green light, and you turn. I appreciate guys like Ken, but Ken, I told you, no cop ever give you a ticket if he's not sitting behind you.
Right.
That's the only place you can get a ticket. I've done it 500,000 times. I've never gotten a ticket. I've been yelling about it for 7 years. I do it every single day, and it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I include my kids in that. Me running arrows is the best goddamn thing I've ever done. But I can't control the eye in the sky, brought to you by the Alan Parsons Project. Thank you, Bald Brian. All right, T.
Yep.
Let's do the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
On Friday night, a bounty hunter tracked 28-year-old Joel Hawkins to a car at an apartment complex in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
The bounty hunter decided to apprehend Joel by shooting taser probes at him, which is legal. But the probes flew towards a woman who was with Joel instead, and she threw up her baby to protect herself from the taser.
Oh.
Here, the local police lieutenant Isaac Goodman comments.
Bondsman attempted to use a taser to apprehend the suspect, and a female passenger in the suspect's vehicle held a child up to block the taser from hitting the suspect. The child was struck with the taser, but only sustained very minor injuries.
Well, that's why I had twins. Human shields.
Right.
Not shield.
Not
shield.
Yeah.
Shields, front and back.
Funny you should mention that.
Make a vest out of them.
Don't chase me, bro. Don't chase me.
Oh, Sonny, no. It's for the best.
Now, listen, the baby was not shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently...
He was surprised.
The way the taser works...
You got to get hit with both.
Yes, and this the only one
probe...
You need
to complete the cycle.
Yeah, so the little baby's hand was injured, but it was not shocked.
Mm.
The mother was arrested.
Yeah, I'm sure that kid was going to go on to do great things. Like, it would have made a difference.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Just a little baby.
Yeah, little babies grow up to be 14-year-old guys who shoot up schools.
True.
Thank you.
Don't chase me, bro. Don't chase me.
No.
Little Natalia would never do anything bad.
Sad. Now, if you got tased... Mm-hmm. You might be scared. Mm-hmm. Turns out a look of fear attracts the human eye.
Mm.
Here's some advice. If you're out and you want to get attention from people, the right play isn't a smile, but a look that you're scared to death, like someone's about to kill you. Mm-hmm. Psychologists at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee have found that a scared or horrified look is the best attention-getting facial expression there is. Here's the reason. When we see someone who looks scared, it triggers the part of our brain that is responsible for fear. And because that person looks scared, our brain has to process whether there's some danger that we should also be aware of. So mm-hmm. you lock in on a scared facial expression to see if there's danger.
Yeah, like what does this guy know that I don't know?
And, yeah.
And then also, when somebody's looking confident, they're not as easy to approach. When someone is looking frightened, they're easier to approach because you're confident that they're not going to do anything to you. You have this, there's this upper hand kind of feeling you have when someone looks wounded or damaged or scared versus cocky and confident or blasé or whatever.
That's true.
My little brother or nephew, the guy going to school on a full scholarship because he plays tuba.
Mm-hmm.
He called me up flipping out from a really bad neighborhood in Washington, D.C. And I said, I'm really scared of drilling light at night. What do I do? And I said, march. He goes, what? I said, march like you own it. Everybody that looks at you on that street is going to think, what's he doing here? Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing here, that they're going to look at you and say, what's that man doing there? And if one of them from across the street looks at you real bad, stop, look at him, and walk straight at him. And watch how fast he splits.
And
because he belongs there and you don't. What's wrong with this guy?
Do that thing with your tuba where you do that bump, bump, bump.
Dominic, don't play your tuba.
Don't tell a guy who plays a tuba to march. His knees are going to be up high. He's going to be wearing spats.
I should have been supposed to say march like you own the place. Sorry. All right.
Jermaine Jackson is in a catch-22. Here's the situation. His ex-wife, Alejandra, is trying to get alimony and child support. Apparently, she's broke. She and their two kids, Jafar and Jermajesty.
No, it's Jermajesty.
I like saying Jermajesty.
Jermajesty.
Jermajesty is a ridiculous name, but it's funny that Jermajesty is used
it's
as
better.
A noble
yeah.
name. Like, come on.
Jermajesty, Jafar, and Alejandra all live with Jermaine's mother.
Yeah, but Jermajesty sounds like she could catch stuff and then just digest it and actually not get the disease. I like her.
It's your Majesty.
It's your Majesty.
Isn't that child abuse?
You're naming it
true. You know, like, well, look, if I go to the goddamn hospital and they hand me the application for little Sonny Corolla and I decide, with a boy, I'll name him S for brains.
That's abusive.
Well, isn't somebody going to stop me and go,
in
you
Germany,
can't
that's illegal.
You can name your kid S for brains? Oh, it's my kid. I'll do what I like. Your Majesty.
I can't even pronounce
You're talking to the father of Count Dante, Jean-Michel Valentino.
That's
Bonamici.
Right. You should be arrested.
For child endangerment.
I have been arrested. Happy.
I mean, for this.
Oh.
Definitely okay. Not a Jew.
So Alejandra has some cash flow problems. That's why she's living with Jermaine's mom.
Now, there's a good name for a black kid. Cash flow.
Oh,
Cash Flow Jackson. Nice. Write that down.
Turns out
Majesty,
she's...
Cash Flow.
Sorry, my name is Tyrone Washington.
S for brains.
Jackson. She's not the only one who's broke. Jermaine filed papers with the court telling them that he's also broke.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, I currently do not have any employment. I do not have any income from which to pay support. Now, Alejandra makes $15 an hour as a personal assistant, but Jermaine can't go out and get a real job. He has market value to protect. He told the court, I find myself in a catch-22 situation where while I need money, I also need to be very cognizant of what employment I do undertake so as not to degrade my market value and ability to obtain legitimate work in the future. Unfortunately, and sadly, this troubling situation is very common in the entertainment industry.
It is.
Well, when he says market value, he means working at a market.
I thought that was another one of the
market
kids.
Market value. That'd be a good name.
Jermajesty.
Cash flow, Jermajesty, Majesty, market and market value.
I don't think anybody would recognize him, but when I was probably, I'll have to say it, a nationally recognizable celebrity when I was 18, 19. There's still no missing me. When I was your busboy, it was horrifying. It was the most embarrassing time of my life. And I've had some pretty good embarrassing times.
Leave it to death row!
Listen,
my partridge,
Jermaine,
my soup is cold.
Right, Jermaine isn't a catch-22, but he's got kids.
Estradaro!
Feed your kids.
Estradaro!
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did.
Germajesty.
Germajesty.
Fed. All right. Now, I'll leave you with this. Forbes has come out with a list of the top earning comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just in, you know, over a recent 12-month period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we know Seinfeld made like $60 million without leaving his house.
He made exactly $60 million.
Last year.
Mm-hmm. Jerry Seinfeld. David Letterman follows him making $40 million. Then Ben Stiller with $38
million. Holy. That steaming heard of a
stand-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jay Leno, $32 million. Adam Sandler with 30.
Damn, I thought it was me.
You are not in the top.
Did you say Adam Carolla? Don't screw around that way.
Some of them are weird. Like Vince Vaughn made $25 million at number 7, but I don't think of him as a comedian.
I think if people stand up with a microphone, say good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and end with don't forget to tip your waitresses are comedians.
Larry the Cable Guy.
The problem with all these lists are they're always a little bit confusing. And yes, these are comedic actors. Mostly.
Larry the Cable Guy made $20 million.
Oh my God.
That's a lot.
Get her done. That's how many stupid people are on the planet, everybody. Larry the Cable Guy is a multimillionaire.
Yeah, I don't want to be too mean to people whose act I don't know that well, but I could not agree with you more, man. It makes me sad for the state of the
union. I'm telling you, I'm moving to Canada.
How about this?
I was just there.
Dane Cook at number 10 with $9 million.
Forget about Canada. I'm tunneling into the earth. That's it.
I'm Teresa, Your Majesty Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
We need to take a quick break. We'll do our NFL picks. I'll tell you who won. Give you a clue. I'm in a good mood. Kirk Morrison. I think a guy's going to the Pro Bowl this year. He's a starting inside linebacker for the Oakland Raiders. He'll be on the phone. We'll talk about their loss to the all of a sudden resurgent San Diego Superchargers. Quick break. Back with some football talk next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now a little sit-down with Oakland Raiders middle linebacker Kirk Morrison. Brought to you by PerfectPushup.com. Get ripped fast for under $40.
That's intercepted. Picked off by Kirk Morrison.
Kirk Morrison on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, now San Diego decides to start coming out of their shell and scoring. Kirk Morrison, good to speak to you.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing? How do you feel a day after a tough NFL game?
Oh, man. The body doesn't feel too good, but I think the loss is just is what hurts even more because you put your body through a grind, and it's like there's no reward at the end this week.
Right. Well, big fat paycheck.
Yeah, there's that.
They get paid the same. The AFC West is now just a ball of teams battling it out. You have Denver, you have San Diego, you have Oakland, and everybody is right up in there. I mean, you're only a game out of first place, right?
Yeah, so that's what we're excited about. I mean, definitely, we lost yesterday, which was a tough loss for us, but we didn't play our best football yesterday at all.
Yeah, and San Diego seems to be back on track. But here's a bigger question for you, Kirk Morrison. Who is going to stop the New England Patriots?
I will, damn it. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Really? I mean, seriously, something's going to have to happen. This team is scary good.
Yeah, they're a good football team. They go out and they play hard, and they have a great coaching staff, and they have great players over there, too. And they have guys that just work well together. It doesn't matter who they bring in. You know, a lot of times in the NFL, there's always a carousel of players going in and out, but definitely the New England Patriots always seem to bring in the right guys that fit into everything just perfect.
Well, now, Randy Moss was at Oakland last year.
Right.
He's already scored 10 times as many touchdowns this year as he did last year. Were you with Randy last year?
Yeah, I was with Randy my first 2 years, last couple of years. And for me, he was a great teammate. And I tell people all the time how great a teammate he was, how good a leader he was. But at the same time, I don't think he didn't want to be a focal point of a football team. And when you look at the New England Patriots, he's definitely not the focal point of that football team. You know, everyone knows that when you think New England Patriots, you think of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Right.
And Randy Moss is kind of, he's that leader, but he doesn't have to take on that immediate leadership role. And I think that's why he's flourishing right now, because he's just going out there and he's just, you know, letting loose and not have to worry about anything else.
Well, now, what is the schedule like for Kirk Morrison, NFL linebacker on the Oakland Raiders? Today is today a day off. Today's essentially your Sunday, right?
Oh, today, we today's, actually, we call it our Friday. Mm-hmm. Well, not our Friday, our Saturday.
Right.
We wake up early in the morning, come out, and we do a, what we call a flush out. You know, we get all the soreness and, you know, all the aches and pains. We try to run them out and, you know.
Well, how does that work? Do you go down to the facility? Like, you were on the road. You were in San Diego. Mm-hmm. So the game ends, and you fly home back to the Bay Area. You fly home last night.
Yes.
And then in the morning, you come out, and you go to the facility to get an enema.
Flush out. Sure.
You go to the facility and you sit in a whirlpool and or you move around. Like, what's the best way to flush it out if you're going to be sore?
Well, we do a lot of roller. Foam rollers are great.
Oh, yeah. I use those at Pilates.
Yeah, definitely. We do
don't
a lot of foam
rollers. Don't make it gay. It's very masculine.
Those things are pretty good, man. Hey,
foam roller. So you do...
Those foam rollers would change your life. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. So you work with guys. You have guys that stretch you and guys that work with you and rehab you. So right. You're not all tightened up and sore for practice on Tuesday.
On Wednesday. Wednesday.
On Wednesday. So you get Tuesday off as well.
Right. Yeah. So today we go in, we work out. We do a really hard workout because your muscles are kind of fatigued. So you want to go in there and get a nice workout because your body's going to rest the rest of the day. Because we're going to go in and watch the film of the game from yesterday and make our corrections, see what we need to work on, what went wrong, and we call it Tell the Truth Monday. And you got to tell the truth of this is why we didn't win, or if we would have won, tell the truth of why we won. But today is going to be a day where we got to tell the truth of why we didn't win the football game.
And do you guys, when you guys watch the film, do you watch the film that the Oakland Raiders took, or do you just watch the game that's broadcast?
No, we have there's a different angle of the game that we watch. Definitely, there's a
Why not watch the one with the reporters and the instant replay and the you know, commercials for Domino's and stuff? No, I mean, why don't you have some fun while you're there?
Yeah, we got the game that you have to turn on your own music. I mean, this is a straight silent. It's just you know, just play. So,
but people go nuts when you guys score, right?
Oh, yeah, they go crazy.
I mean, 53, I don't remember his name, picked one off and took it to the house.
Yeah, my roommate, Thomas Howard.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, that's weird. The guy I had that push-up contest with at the game, his number was, he's wearing a jersey, said 53 on it.
Well, his guy got a pick six, and I bet he's still talking about it this morning, right, Kirk?
Oh, yeah, he's still right next to me. You know,
I can't believe Kirk's got a roommate.
Yeah.
That's how it works in the NFL.
Well, it's my roommate on the road, I should say. You know, we both live in different houses, but... he's my roommate on the road trips because we.
Are we talking about a real roommate or a horse?
No, when you go on the road, you have to bunk up.
You have to bunk up.
It's the way it works.
Yeah, we're not old enough.
What's the point of being in a big old football league, being a big star, making millions of dollars? You can't go out and get some whores.
No, they do. You take your whore on that side of the room. I'll take my whore on this side of the room.
Oh, do you draw like a chalk line?
Yeah,
like
they hang a towel. They hang a towel between them.
I feel better now. I thought my fantasies were wasted.
Hey, Kirk, we'll be watching and listening right here in KLSX as you go spank Kansas City, who's now getting better as well, too. You got to win this weekend, Kirk Morrison.
I already know. That's just the way the AFC West is. You know, one week you could be things cannot go well for you, but then the following week you can just explode. So we're looking to explode this week, especially going back home to Oakland and playing Kansas City.
Well, good times. Put a spanking on them for me. Thanks, Kirk Morrison.
All right, I will.
All right, Kirk Morrison, linebacker from the Oakland Football Raiders. And quickly, I won last week. I went 3-1. Danny went 1-3. T went 1-3. And my dog Molly split them at 2-2. So my charity will take the money. We'll take a quick break. Be right back to wrap up. Well, just enough time for a few thanks. I want to thank Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk Proving Ground. Name of his video game, Eli Roth, Hostel 2. And Hostel, the director's cut. Get it? Cut. Out on DVD next Tuesday, dear friend David Koechner. The Comebacks, sports spoof movie, looks funny, in theaters this Friday. And Kirk Morrison, I think that man's going to the Pro Bowl this year. Raiders inside backer. Raiders versus Chiefs Sunday, 1 p.m. right here on the Mother Station. KLSX. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
You know what? Your nose is in harmony with your face. I wouldn't touch it. I might think about the breasts.